You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Every day, federal scientists are looking for new ways to kill bugs.
Your basic arachnid warrior isn't too smart, but you can blow off a limb, and it's still 86% combat effective. Here's a tip. Aim for the nerve stem and put it down for good.
Would you like to know more?
Huey Lewis on the news?
They're okay.
Their early work was a little too new wave for my taste. But when sports came out in 83, I think they really came into their own, commercially and artistically. The whole album has a clear, crisp sound and a new sheen of consummate professionalism that really gives the songs a big boost. He's been compared to Elvis Costello, but I think Huey has a far more bitter, cynical sense of humor.
Hey, Albert.
Yes, Alan?
Why are the copies of the Styles section all over the place? Do you have a dog? A little chow or something?
No, Alan.
Is that a raincoat?
Yes, it is. In 87, Huey released this. Four, their most accomplished album. I think their undisputed masterpiece is Hip to Be Square. A song so catchy, most people probably don't listen to the lyrics. But they should, because it's not just about the pleasures of conformity and the importance of trends. It's also a personal statement about the band itself. Hey, Paul!
Get yourself ready for a trip through McDonald's Land.
One day, Ronald and his friend spotted Evil Grimace running off with loads of shakes and
Coke. Tasty!
Thinking quickly, Ronald disguised himself as a big Hollywood movie director.
I'm really thirsty.
Took a shortcut and headed off to Grimace at Filet-O-Fish Lake.
Wait!
Shouted Ronald.
What a face with beautiful eyes. I'm gonna make you a star.
The Evil Grimace was very flattered.
Would you mind stepping back a bit? Little further.
Asked Ronald.
Just a little bit further.
Splash.
You were sensational.
Shouted Ronald.
And so are these McDonald's shakes, and Coca-Colas, and hamburgers, and French fries, and apple pie.
I'm so wasted.
Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 138. Welcome.
to our show, our humble little show. How are you doing, everyone? We're here and we're excited. Welcome to the show. We talk film, television, and pop culture, and we're here for you. Steven, to my left, how are you doing? Steven, the pop culture zealot.
Hey.
Just flew in from Los Angeles, huh?
Yes, I'm out taking meetings, you know, with the Sci-Fi Channel to get our scripts rolling.
I thought we weren't going back to them after they screwed us over with Lance.
Come on. I pitched a new idea to them. But, you know, we'll wait and see.
Yes. Yeah, and they'll steal that one, too.
Bastards. I'll only deal with the Chiller Channel, okay? I don't think they have original programming on there, though. Chiller, Sleuth, all that stuff.
Maybe I'll talk to ABC Family.
I think that's actually an Encore network.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How are you doing, Bill?
I'm good. Sorry.
Are you tired, Bill?
I'm excellent.
Got him a little nap in.
He's just a little tired. Sorry.
Tell us what's been going on with you today. The last couple of days.
The last couple of days have been very stressful. On Thursday, my mother was complaining of pain, like she had food poisoning, and I was telling her to pinpoint the pain and looked it up online and. What do you know? Appendicitis. So I took her into the emergency Thursday night, and they admitted her Wednesday night. They admitted her Thursday morning, and they did the laparoscopic appendectomy.
Wow.
On Thursday, and I brought her home today, and I'm trying to keep an eye on her. So she doesn't rip her stitches or whatever the hell it is that they do.
Now,
they super glue it now. My dad went and had surgery, and they just... It was weird. He had,
spleen?
No, for the man. The
liver?
The one that
prostate?
Prostate, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Prostate surgery.
And they use, like, glue?
For the man.
For the man. That's why I said for the man.
Prostate for men.
What, you didn't know that women had a prostate?
And they put, like, six quarter-size holes, but they didn't put any stitches. They just glued them shut.
Sweet. What about your mom, Bill?
Yeah, they did. Well, I didn't ask to look at her holes. I just.
Dad shows that. You know.
I said, she said that they put, like, three holes and they did the thing. So.
When they do three holes, does that mean they, like, take it out in pieces?
I don't know how that works. I don't think the appendix is that large.
I always remember that Simpsons where he says, "Stand aside, this man's appendix is about to burst." And he throws it and goes.
So when they did my brother, he had his gallbladder taken out, and they said they put little holes in it and they air you up.
They have to air you up.
Yeah,
they'd
be
able to
full
navigate
of air, and then they can do their little work in there.
Well, Bill, that must have been really scary. I'm glad your mom's okay.
Yeah, she's fine as long as she stays her ass in bed.
Yeah,
and she wants to get up and get around.
Yeah, well, what's funny is when I brought her home, you know, I'm keeping an eye on her, and she's like, "Oh, I feel fine. I'm great." And I was like, little did she know that she was hopped up on narcotics.
Yeah,
and then around 6 o'clock, she's like, "Oh, I don't feel so good."
Oh, it sucks when they wear off.
Yeah,
right?
My brother did the same thing. He kept overdoing it. He goes, "I feel good today," and he'd get up and he'd clean house or something. By the end of the day, he's so sore. He's like,
"Well, she's really." Cautious about pain medications. Like, I have a stash of pain medications from, like, whenever I'd break a bone or something, or whenever I screwed up the meniscus in my right knee, I had, like, different painkillers, like morphine. And Vicodin, Lortab, stuff like that. And be like, "What, do you want
That's
one? You know, I keep them in case something like this happens." And she's like, "No, I'm afraid to take it. Maybe when I go to bed." But, so I think maybe she's going to die from it or something. I don't know.
Well,
or
you
she
mean
just
that
doesn't
want
to have to become addicted.
It's never. Well, see, that's the thing. It's never been addictive. I'm not an addictive personality. So it's like I'll take it for as long as I have pain, and then I stash it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, in case something happens.
I have some old pain medication too. You just stick it in the cabinet. And just take as much as you want or whatever. You never know when say, okay, say the apocalypse happened, some kind of zombie thing. You
or
can't
what
get
if
to
you
a
have
doctor.
Like some sort of like nuclear burns?
Yeah. Maybe a laser wound or something. Mm. You always have that pain medication just
in case.
You need
something to help you sleep at night, yeah.
Right.
Maybe encountered an evil Sith Lord. And
something like that. You know, Bill, let's go ahead and get into The Force Unleashed came out this week. And you and I both read the book. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, we're nerds, okay? And, you know, it was just kind of a... Because we played the demo on Xbox Live, and I enjoyed the demo, and I loved the premise of it, and I wanted to know more. So at Target, the book was on sale. I got it, and I was reading it, and I told you how cool I thought it was. And, you know, you'd already played the demo, too. It's not like there's nothing you didn't know. Yeah. So we were really excited. We both have read the book, and the premise is Darth Vader's secret apprentice that he basically wants to help him overthrow the Emperor. And Darth Vader will then take over. That's pretty much the beginning premise of it, right?
Yes.
So it's a really cool story. So then the game came out this week, and I remember Tuesday morning, I think that's when they release all the reviews and stuff.
Yes.
Usually you're not allowed to release a review before the release date because they don't want you to sabotage their game sales or whatever. But it was mostly mediocre reviews.
Yeah.
Nothing fantastic. And, you know... We want fantastic. That's what we expect the game to be, especially after the cool
story. Well, the book was good. I mean, the book was a great story. It was really well written. It read it like a video game at times, but altogether it was very well done.
They did a good job of
expected that.
They did a good job of inserting the story into the Star Wars storyline.
Yeah.
Between Episode 3 and 4, where it pretty much fits in there without messing anything up. They did a good job of that.
Yeah, it kind of connects it.
Yeah, so then when the game has come out, and, you know, I'd saved up, I was going to buy it, and based on all the reviews, the X-Play one, after I watched the X-Play one, I was like, okay, I guess it's
a renter.
Yeah, I guess it's a renter. They give it like 2 out of 5 stars, and everyone has said the storyline is great. It's the gameplay that pretty much leaves a lot to be desired. And
You know what's crazy is they say the storyline is great, but the storyline isn't anything compared to the book.
Right.
I mean, the book is so much deeper than the game. The cutscenes are so short compared to the book.
Were they afraid to do like Metal Gear type cutscenes? Because I would prefer them in a game like that. You know.
Maybe they didn't have the money for the animation. I don't know, but. They could have done a better job with the story and the cutscenes in the game. I played, since all this happened this week, I really didn't have time. I got to play through the first mission and up until Raxus Prime. And you know what? It's okay. It's not terrible. I wouldn't go as far to say 2 stars like X-Play. I think they were overly critical because they expected something better.
Yeah, what are the main complaints, basically? I'm sorry.
The main complaints are the targeting system, the...
camera.
The camera is god-awful.
It reminds me of kind of like a Tomb Raider-type camera where you have to keep rotating the camera back to behind you kind of
there's
thing.
Some graphical issues with the 360, some screen tearing, some frame dropping... I haven't really noticed it with the PS3, but,
yeah, you got it on the PS3, right?
Yeah, I did. And my plan is to, play through it, this weekend and send it to you next week for you to try out.
Sweet.
It's very short. It's only 7 or 8 hours.
Yeah, that's what I
heard.
Very
short.
It's not a really long kind of,
there's no multiplayer aspect to it, anything like that. So... It doesn't have a very long life. It's definitely more of a rental unless you're Star Wars obsessed.
Right. The visuals are really kick-ass. I mean, the way the game looks and everything.
Yeah, but it's just it doesn't feel finished.
I wish they would have...
like they rushed it out.
You know,
I think if they would have
like
taken...
How many games have we heard where they rush it out when it's not finished? Wouldn't you rather them take their sweet time?
Yeah. You know what? If they would have taken their time and maybe released it... around December, I think it would have been a perfect timing.
Oops.
You know, clean up some of the gameplay issues, the issues with the 360, you know, stuff like that.
Well, I got to tell you, the game is so awesome looking. Like, when I decided, okay, I'm not going to buy it, that same night, you're watching primetime television. They have commercials for it. And I'm like, I told myself I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it. You know, even based on what you've heard about it, the commercials look so kick-ass. It's like, oh, yeah. I got to buy it. Just screw it. I'm going to buy it. No, no, you can't.
They're really advertising it well.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, I read an interview with the actor Sam Witwer. I believe that's how you say his name. I have no idea.
Witwer.
He plays The Apprentice, and he was talking about making it, how excited they were about the storyline, and how they wanted to do Star Wars justice. And unfortunately, he had no say in the gameplay, so that was kind of out of their hands, you know, the actors in it and everything. But I will recommend the book. I thought it was a very good read.
Yeah, I enjoyed the book. There have been better Star Wars books, but for what it was very good.
Yeah, you know what's funny is, since we're on the subject of video games, you know, on GameTrailers.com, you can watch different videos of games or game trailers. Of course, that's what it's called, GameTrailers.com.
Yeah.
And I watched a trailer to this game called Tunnel Rats. And I was like, the footage is of, like, going in a tunnel rat, like a tunnel, a hole, and you got a machine gun, and you're shooting down the hole. And I'm like, well, this game looks lame. You're just traveling down a hole shooting forward. What kind of premise is this game? And I was like, hey, Bill, check out this game. It looks like the shittiest video game I've ever seen. Just, it's like, what is the point? Can you go left or right? No, you're going down a hole. Ooh, or whatever.
But you have to watch out for, like, traps.
The Viet Cong.
Yeah, the footage of it is you're just going down a cave, like a hole. You're just going.
It's
and there's
quite possibly some of the worst, like, first-person shooter footage I've ever seen. In fact, I asked Jason, I said, is this coming out for the 3DO?
Yeah.
Because it looked like a 3DO, like, first-person shooter. It just looked terrible.
And then Bill looks... Basically, you looked online to see what a premise for it or something. You figured out who was making the game, right?
Yeah, who's involved in the game. It's Uwe Boll.
What?
Yes, he's involved. I think he's a producer on it. And the game might be based on his screenplay for his upcoming film, Tunnel Rats, with Michael Paré.
Awesome. Michael Paré's back. He's back. So he's getting...
What was he? Sergeant Vic Hollowborn.
Uwe Boll.
He's Eddie.
Yes, he is. On a dog's head! Oh!
So basically, I mean, I didn't know Uwe Boll had anything to do with
tunnel.
It. But apparently, he can't make a movie. He also can't make a video game. It looks shitty as hell.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. So
I wanted to resemble my movies.
Tunnel Rats. And you know, I've heard
you want to be shitty.
That shit is a really serious subject. Do we really?
Oh yeah.
I mean, guys climbing down in tunnels and looking for VC. That's dangerous as shit. But you're going to turn it into a crappy video game.
I watched like a thing on one of the HD PBS channels about how high the mortality rate were for these guys and how they literally were crawling on their hands and knees, like with a knife in their mouth and a gun in their hand
and like a grenade.
It was a horrible thing to do.
Yeah, bullshit crap fighting stuff.
Oh, shut up, Uwe. Yeah, what were you saying, Steven?
I said I knew someone that was a tunnel rat. And
oh, that's right. David Lee, I remember. Right?
Yeah.
And he didn't like to talk about
it. Well, yeah, I never asked about
it. No, I wouldn't either.
It's like, hey, tell me about your time as a tunnel rat. It's like, what did you say?
Me? God,
he's got you in a headlock. I could snap your neck.
It's like, Uwe Boll.
So anyway, whatever, that's a little unstable, but I can't wait to...
Uwe Boll cannot leave any subject alone. He has no reverence for anything.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
Huh?
Yeah, I do.
So anyway, that's it with our video game section of the show. I don't know where that came from.
I am looking forward to Brothers in Arms Hell's Highway next week.
Oh, dude, we were also watching that. There's this new war game. You know, we've been playing the hell out of Bad Company. So I'm looking at this Brothers in Arms Hell's Highway military game, and they start talking about footage or talking about the combat, and all of a sudden I see these dudes blow apart and you see bones and blood and guts. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, the gore system is so cool in it.
And this guy's like, with our state-of-the-art gore system, we can make it look very realistic when people die. And I started like going, this is disturbing. You're like shooting it. If you shoot with pinpoint accuracy, you can blow an enemy soldier's arms off. You see, and his arm and his hands flying through the air. And it's like, what the hell? And I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to play some. Didn't that look disturbing as hell?
You're gonna get that post-traumatic was crazy. Gaming disorder.
Yeah, you come out with shell shock, probably. But I love how he's like, with our, you know, state-of-the-art gore system. Man, it does look totally awesome, but I tell you, that's a game that my daughter cannot watch me play.
No, I was in the living room fighting Charlie.
She can enjoy the shotgun blasts from Bad Company because there's really no blood.
You know what's funny about Bad Company is you shoot somebody in the game, you disappear in a duffel bag falls where you were standing.
Yes.
And so another player can come along.
Almost game friendly.
Another player can come along and grab your stuff after you're dead, but there's no blood.
If I'm like a specialist and I can't heal myself, I'll look out for a bag for a support guy or somebody just to heal myself.
So you like shoot someone point blank, immediately disappears, duffel bag.
Yep.
It's like a magic trick. I'm
all your earthly
duffel
possessions,
bag.
Yeah. It's like the Jetson car. It
turns into a suitcase.
You shoot the guy's arm off and you go and you fish his watch off his car.
That would be great if after you get shot, a bag falls and it says DNA and they take you to a cloning factory and you bring it back.
Or you could raid the corpse for like armor or boots and stuff like that. That
but apparently,
cool.
One thing I'm curious about the Hell's Highway, because it's so gory, how long the gore stays around in a gunfight?
Does it just disappear?
Yeah, or is it just guts everywhere as you're shooting
eventually,
each other?
Yeah.
It's just like all of a sudden you're sitting there going, hold on. You just throw up.
That's one thing I've always hated about multiplayer games is that the corpses will disappear over time. Halo's pretty good about it. Like, they're scattered around for a while.
Well, that's the funny thing about Bad Company. You'll be in an area and there's like 20 duffel bags all over the place.
That's great.
You're like, oh my god, the carnage! Look at all the duffel bags!
I can normally tell where somebody called in a mortar strike.
So, hey, we got some voicemail, guys. Let's go ahead and get to that. Our first one is from Izzy, a loyal listener. Here's Izzy.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk to you about two-hour premieres. I know you touched on it last week a little bit, but I just really got to tell you, I really am just not into these premieres. It's too long. It took me a while to get myself psyched to watch Fringe. Last week, you guys convinced me to give it a shot. I put it on last night. It went on forever. I fell asleep eventually. 2 hours is too long. A show has really got to earn a two-hour
premiere. It was like an hour and a half.
Maybe the only one who could do it is Lost, but Heroes
yeah,
coming
flew
up
by for me.
Premiere. I don't think I can handle it. I really don't. I don't know what else, but every single show. I mean, 90210 needs a two-hour premiere. My God. Then you have it wasn't even a real premiere. This is a two-hour clip show.
They did the sneaky two episodes
back to back.
Thank God it was
Happy Terminator only had a one-hour premiere. And Smallville tonight, I think, is also a one-hour premiere.
Yeah, they don't have enough
these
writing.
Ridiculous.
Smallville scraping the bottom of the barrel as is.
Because we got about 30 minutes of script. Bye, Izzy.
We got some awesome bass lines.
Now, I agree with you on that on some things. I remember I loved the Alias 2 hour premiere or finale.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I think he's right. A show needs to earn that 2 hour premiere.
Yeah, definitely like Top Model and that 90210 is a little ridiculous. But they did the. I CW did that with Veronica Mars before where they did a special 2 hours where it's really like, we're going
to
go ahead and finish the season up by showing two episodes.
Yeah, all they're trying to do is burn off episodes faster.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. But Fringe, it was like an hour and a half, and I thought it was worth it. It was good stuff.
Yeah, I think it was like an hour and 20 minutes total.
Yeah. Hey, we got another voicemail from the Mystery Man. Let's see how this goes.
Hi, fellas. Sorry about the shitty phone. I'm just too lazy to get off my ass and go get a new one. Really a piece of crap. Anyway, I was listening to this last week's podcast, and you mentioned something about this biker gang show that I've been seeing ads for. And now I think I'm going to take a pass on it.
Aww.
But one thing that Jason said that was interesting was, you know, there wasn't a character on the show that I liked or really wanted to identify with, or support to that effect. And I was wondering, you know, does someone need to like someone on a TV show to like the show itself? I'm thinking back to the Sopranos days, and I was a huge fan of that show, but I was thinking, you know, there wasn't anybody on that show that I particularly liked or thought was my hero or, you know, would have enjoyed hanging out with. But somehow that show had something going for it where I was
yeah,
you know,
good writing.
Watching it every week. Just wanted to hear what your thoughts were on that. Bye.
Yeah, I don't think you necessarily have to like a character, but
you have to like the writing.
The characters have to be entertaining.
Well, yeah, like Pauly. I loved anything with Pauly. I loved Christopher Moltisanti's hilarious, you know, his stupidity, basically.
So the acting has to be good. You have to have good writing.
But what I was saying about Sons of Anarchy is the most interesting character was someone who was dead, and another character was reading his, basically, his memoirs. And I thought the guy who wasn't even on the show was the most interesting part of the show. Not that anybody has to be likable. It just, you know, if it's a good show, it's a good show. Like many times watching Sopranos, you're just like, man, these people were deplorable. But, you know,
yeah.
You keep watching it. I never wanted Tony, you know, I wanted Tony to get whacked at the end. He was, you know, he's a scumbag, but you still like his character, or you don't have to like him, but you love the writing of his character, and it's an entertaining show. I don't know. As long as the show is entertaining, I think we'll watch any kind of scumbag.
Yeah. We want Smallville, for Christ's sake.
Well, that's a bad example because the opposite of writing.
That's what I'm saying. We want Smallville.
But it's like
bad
entertainment
writing.
Because of its badness, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm still watching Sons of Anarchy, by the way. It's just like, there's some kind of...
I haven't watched it since the first episode.
The show is hardcore, man.
It's hardcore.
But hey,
Paul Schrader directed it.
By the way, I want to thank Don Chep for a donation this week. Thank you for donating to the Mulberry Fund. Hey, buddy, thanks a lot. Don Chep does a podcast called Babaloo Bistro, where they talk about different things, movie-type stuff. There was one he did on nerdsploitation and cinema, which I thought was pretty funny, like exploitation of nerds.
Like antitrust?
Yeah. In the last two episodes...
Ryan Phillippe is the bomb in that movie.
They were rating macho starring men in movies or something like that. I haven't listened to it, Don Chep, so it's kind of loosely... that's what I gathered from the description, but I want to thank you for donating to our cause. And everyone, remember, if you donate, you get access to our special download page. I'll be adding new rings every... well, not this week. I'll add some later. But
we'll add some when we feel like it.
But, you know, I added a few things, like the BSG ringtone, huh? Come on, that's a cool ringtone, right?
That's nice.
I added the Hot Fuzz ringtone. Whoa. Come on, that's cool, right? And, Bill, eventually we will get around to some kind of special episode.
Yes.
Right.
Well, could you call it an episode, though?
Yes.
More of a companion-sode.
Well, you know, it depends on what we do. We haven't decided yet.
True. That is true.
But why don't you, if everybody donate to the show, and we'll love you that much more. Why don't we get into entertainment? Yes, entertainment. We have Lakeview Terrace opening this week.
And quiet.
Neil LaBute directs it. And we all love Neil LaBute, right? you know his last movie, right, Bill?
No. What was his last movie?
The Wicker Man with Nicolas Cage.
How to get burned! How to get burned!
I mean, seriously, he needed to do something good. And you
I love that movie, man. That is quite possibly one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
I've read good reviews of Lakeview Terrace, but I see the premise of it, and I don't want to see it. Do you?
No, it doesn't appeal to me.
I mean, no.
I just...
I'll wait for it on HBO or whatever.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of Nick Fury, but I don't know. I don't want him living next to me and harassing
Nick
me.
Nick Fury,
and,
my ass.
And my black wife, you know
that
what I'm saying?
That isn't Nick Fury.
Sure it is. He's just the black Nick Fury.
Bullshit.
Check it, Bleed. Bro was on. Didn't trip.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so, hey, is that new Dane Cook flick come out with Jason Biggs and...
So don't care.
Wow.
I despise that son of a bitch.
Have you seen the part where Jason Biggs shaves his eyebrows off?
Oh, wow. Isn't that high comedy?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Well, they do that same...
The other one off.
The pratfall running, you know. At least he hit in a pole.
I know, someone's always running and they hit into something, and Heather was like, I'm anti-pratfall. I'm so anti-pratfall. And I was like, I agree with you. Yeah, we're sick of seeing
stupid pratfall. I was anti-pratfall when Chevy Chase was doing it.
Hey, if it's good pratfalls, then fine. But it's just so bad. Like, every chick movie has, like...
Has,
you know,
the pratfall.
He was in that movie with Jessica Alba where they're running and she hit a pole. Come on! Do you have to... Someone's always running on a sidewalk and they're like... Oh,
she can hit my pole.
And you know what the worst part is? It when you see these trailers to these movies in the theater, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm better than any of these people in the audience, but when they laugh at this stupid shit, you're like, oh, God.
Well, you know what? It's appealing to the lowest common denominator, and that's what they make, who they make these movies for.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, we're going to go see that, though, right? No, we will not see that.
Right after I take in a Nil Abute film festival in the company of men. And
I haven't liked a single movie he did except
Nurse Betty.
I sat through Nurse Betty. Hell, I own it on DVD for some reason. I have
Didn't
no
he
idea.
Do that one with Ben Stiller, that Your Friends and Neighbors.
Is Ben Stiller in that?
Yeah, he is.
I don't like any of his movies, honestly.
No.
But hey, you know, in the intro, there was this weird McDonald Land. Did you catch that, Bill?
That was funny. That's like when Grimace was evil. He had like four arms.
What's with the weird drug-induced music and atmosphere?
Man, that's so trippy. Get yourself ready for a
trip through McDonald's Land. Remember he says trip? He's like, trip through McDonald's
Land. Oh, yeah.
No, I was like my
special sauce.
We have some
on Fridays, I'm so busy working on the show, we'll go out and get my daughter McDonald's or something. And I was like, hey, I'm going to get her some of those old McDonald's Land cookies, like the animal cookies. Remember those? Those are cool in the little box.
So good.
I was like, hey, do you guys have those McDonald's Land cookies? And the girl was like, the what? And I was like, they come in the box or whatever? She's like, no, we have chocolate chip cookies. And I was like, never mind. I was like, what the hell? They don't have them anymore.
You made a McDonald's Land cookies.
Didn't you say, Bill, they don't have them anymore? They only have them,
they only have them in some markets.
I would say it's kind of like Dairy Queen not making a Blizzard. You know?
It's because it's unhealthy, I guess. Didn't they start?
Yeah,
this
I was reading an article about how they've like discontinued that whole McDonald Land thing with all the characters and everything because of kids being too fat.
Yeah, it's like, what did that have to do with kids? I guess it makes them want to go to McDonald's. It was a good advertising campaign,
hey,
I guess.
Look, there's chicken McNuggets.
You could still have that, but if you made healthier food.
Yeah, my daughter, when we go there, here's what she gets. She gets the chicken nuggets. She gets apple dippers, which are basically slices of apple, and chocolate milk. That's not so bad.
Are they fried?
No, they're not fried apples. But, I mean, come on.
No, you know what the problem is with McDonald's? If they would use better quality ingredients, charge more for the product, I think people wouldn't have a problem paying the extra money if there was better ingredients.
Honestly, I don't think it matters. I think they should just start making the cookies again. People will buy shit, right?
Man, I love those cookies. They were like a hard shortbread cookie.
And they also had pot in them.
Oh, man, those... They made me freaking loopy.
That shit is good, yo. You know what I'm saying?
I'll take a box of McDonald's Land cookies, two apple pies, and a vanilla shake.
So, basically, let's prepare ourselves for the new Shia LaBeouf movie next week, Eagle Eye.
I'm excited about it.
It's directed by DJ Caruso.
But, you know, all the previews I've seen of it and the word of mouth, I'm psyched, man. I'll probably go to the theater and see it.
Really? It's directed by the director of Disturbia.
aren't they held up in court now because somebody thinks they ripped off Rear Window? I mean, they did, but...
Yeah, that's what I was reading, that they were like, you ripped off Rear Window in the estate of the guy who wrote the book or whatever it was based on.
Don Chip in the chat room says he misses the McDLT. You're so full of shit. The hot stays hot and the cold stays cold.
Oh, that was
cold.
Awesome. It was two-sided ass. Container. I never
that
did
was
try that.
The biggest waste of time ever.
The hot stays hot, the cold stays cold.
The only thing that was bigger than that McDLT container was the one for the pancakes.
Well, they got rid of that because it creates a tornado in your mouth. You're mixing hot and cold. And it's very dangerous.
And Jason Alexander was singing in the streets for it. So. That's not exactly a good thing.
So Eagle Eye, DJ Caruso, Shia LaBeouf, they're reunited to make gold again, and we'll see.
Michelle Moynihan.
It looks like an interesting premise. Part of it kind of annoys me. I hate them. I always hate that on 24 where they manipulate Jack Bauer into doing their bidding because they have his daughter hostage or something. That's what it kind of reminds me of. It's like, you will do what we say. You know, we have plutonium in your apartment, but, you know, we'll check it out. But, yeah. So let's go ahead and get into what's on our TiVo, because we got nothing, right?
Right.
Yeah. What's on our TiVo?
Get yourself ready for a trip.
Oh. Oh, man. I'm better now.
Hold it in, man. Hold it in.
Oh, shit. All right. What's on TiVo? Hey, did you guys see that, you know, we know that Britney's back. Remember last week she won awards, so that means she's normal now.
Yes.
Well, to prove that she's even more normal, her mom has written a book about it called Through the Storm. Her mom had to deal with reading about her daughter in tabloids, so now she's written a book and she's cashing in on it. Pretty cool, huh? Here she is talking on the Today Show. This is a hard-hitting interview. Be prepared.
You know, it was so crazy at that time. I don't think anybody was even trying to sit and think of what was going on. We were just trying to do what we could do at that moment, at that time. And we were praying very hard because it seemed like...
Because that's going to help.
We
it
had
worked.
No control over anything.
She's back, Steven.
We were trying. We were making phone calls. We were doing everything we could to try to get through.
They're praying for her to win the MTV Movie Music Awards. To work. That I
went this moon man is really cool.
My behind going over that wall, going into that, into the summit, I said, it's me, because it's my last drastic measure. I'm going to try to get in.
I want to read this book.
I mean,
what is the summit?
That's where she lives.
Where she lives.
Come on. Whoa. Do your research, interview lady. Don't you know the summit is where Britney lives?
Oh, that's where she lives? The summit?
I guess.
There's
I
a know. Name for the home?
Hey, you guys want to hear a painful interview? Shia LaBeouf on Leno. Listen as Leno attempts to be funny, and he's got nothing.
Oh, he's hilarious.
You got somebody ran a red light.
Yeah, I was driving and I was making a legal left. I had a green light. Somebody ran a red light, hit my car at 70, and my truck flipped over twice. I had my hand in like the windowsill of the car, and it landed on my hand.
Okay, being cool. Being cool.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Peace sign. So this all could have been avoided if you had not been. Hey, girls, how are you? With a hand out
to you. Exactly.
So play your interviewee talk,
I heard you might lose the hand, but it looks, it looks pretty beat up. But
it's beat up. It doesn't look pretty. But what I'm going to do is, because I'm getting, like, another surgery.
Yeah.
So it'll be, like, my first plastic surgery. Mm-hmm. I want to get, like, abs on my fingers.
Oh, yeah.
Like oh, that's freaking hilarious.
A bicep I want to put in there. So
like
I
a $6 million, like maybe get, you know what's good? You know what's good?
Steven, wake up.
All the G.I. Joe people get Kung Fu Grip. That's what you want to get, yeah. Get the Kung Fu Grip.
Got
that
it, got it,
yeah.
Got it.
But gotta be careful.
Well, that's not dated or anything.
Get over
it's a little better than abs on your finger.
Are you in pain
finger.
Or is it just inconvenient?
Yeah, it's just like having a headache in your hand, you know?
Okay.
About Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf. LaBeouf, yes.
So isn't it painful? I guess when you go on Leno, I mean, you're there to talk about Eagle Eye, your latest movie, but you got nothing else, so you come up with really stupid jokes? Or
I guess it's the pre-interview person that sits down and goes, so, what good stories do you have?
I
mean, why can't you just talk about the movie?
Yeah, or talk about how Disturbia ripped off Rear Window.
trying to avoid the drunk driving call too.
The no, the Walgreens thing where he was
I
at
he
Walgreens
got busted for drunk driving.
Did he? I know he was drunk in a Walgreens.
He no, he was drunk, but he wasn't busted for it because he didn't cause the accident.
Oh, okay.
But yes, he did get busted also for going apeshit in a Walgreens.
Hey, who doesn't? I go apeshit in Walgreens all the time.
Well, whenever I see those as seen on TV stands with all the stuff from the from TV that you can buy in the store, it just it's like it my it gets all trippy and my mind gets all crazy.
That's where you go.
When I get that craving, you know, that Mighty not Putty. Craving, but that you see that infomercial for the pet egg and you want to go scrape your feet in the middle of the night.
Hey, that's what I got one of those just the other day.
I'm gonna go to McDonald's then, yo.
It tore up my freaking foot like you wouldn't believe.
Like, hey, it's for your foot. It's called sandpaper. It's like, yeah, no, I don't think I'm gonna try
it. No,
that.
The thing is, like, it's like a mini grater. Like, if you used, like, grater. You could use it as, like, a nutmeg grater. And it, you know, and it, you rub it on your foot, like, where you have a callus or something, and it takes it all off. But it also takes off a lot of freaking skin with it, too. So the next day you wake up and your feet are on fire, and I'm rubbing triple antibiotic ointment all over them.
Good Lord.
It hurts to walk. And they're like, oh, you could rub it on a tomato and it wouldn't get hurt. Bullshit.
Yeah, it's just like
listen
having
here, tenderfoot. You can't rub one of those pet eggs on your foot.
Yeah, I mean, that thing hurts.
Your foot better be calloused up all over.
What mine is, that's the thing. It's a lot of weight it's carrying.
Okay, you guys know the show New York Goes to Hollywood.
No,
well,
I don't.
On the latest episode, she breaks up with some guy, and it's it goes pretty well. Let's check it out.
Tell you something. I was hoping to talk to you and connect with you.
Well, why do you want to repeat a conversation we had?
Now I'm done.
Okay, have a nice day.
You mean life?
Life.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Okay, have a nice day.
Oh, this is my table.
That's with the Indian music.
No, you know what it is.
Did
it's
she Petroza two times?
It's the good, the bad, and the ugly music. Listen to the music.
I'm done.
They're having a standoff at the table.
Oh, okay.
Oh, this is my table. You walk from here. I'm not getting up.
Oh, wow.
I'm done.
You know what? You then. I'm so glad you gone, you fake ass piece of.
Wow.
Wow,
it's a shame it
did they get
work
out their six shooters?
I think he just like shoved the table real hard. Like, all right, I will get up.
I think he tried that. The pull the.
Was he wearing a furnace door underneath his?
He did the
poncho?
Simon Le Bon hungry like the wolf. Is that what you're going to say?
pulling the sheet out from underneath all the glasses, but it screwed up.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
No, okay. Here we all love Top Model with Tyra
no,
Banks.
No, we don't.
Because she does all of her bits right. Well, this bit. You know, they're doing makeovers for her models, right? And I didn't see what they did for the transgender one. So far, that's turned out to be not much of a entertainment factor.
Tucked his penis back?
But she's taking on this fairy godmother type persona. And it's so goddamn annoying. Just listen to it and how she decides to put this look on this girl. And the girl's so insecure about her looks with her new red wig that she starts crying. What the hell? Let's check it out.
Have you heard of Angelina Jolie before? Well, that's what Alina reminds me of, but there can only be one Angelina. So we're going to make Alina.
Is that her British accent?
And wavy,
yes.
And thick.
Oh.
And luscious.
Oh my god.
It's cool music, though.
Alina, don't hide. Are you okay, Alina?
I just don't feel like myself.
Aww.
You know, just it's not me.
Yeah, it's called a wig. Get over it.
Alina has this image that she, you know, refuses to let go of.
Steven, you're good on the guitar.
If you're that strong in how you are as a person, you should
good
hair
acoustic.
Should not change you as an individual.
We talked about it this morning. Control thing.
What the hell? Is everyone retarded?
Yeah. She put the wig on, looked in the mirror, and went, oh my god, who is that?
It changed myself. I'm not used to myself being changed.
I don't even
That's
know
where not
to
start.
Me. I don't. I'm not angry that I have this look. It's just I don't look like myself anymore.
Bootylicious.
Wow, there that like clip proves like the mental incapacity of the people on that show. I don't look like myself. It makes me sad.
I said, isn't that the point of a model, to be able to have different looks?
Listen to her bad English accent one more time.
Have you heard of Angelina Jolie before?
Oh, God, shut up!
I hate her. I was going to say with a passion, but I already said that.
I am the queen!
I hate her with
oh, my God.
The heat of a thousand suns.
Whoreback. At least do a whoreback today, Tyra. You stink.
Yeah, I'll do a whore bath. Yeah.
You'll do a whore bath.
I need a whore bath after that. Okay, let's go ahead and get to Big Brother real quick. I don't have much to say. Let's just find out who won, and we'll be done with it. Right, Bill?
Yeah, please.
It's time to crown the winner of Big Brother 10. Dan, Memphis, I'm about to reveal how the jury voted. The winner will receive $500,000.
Steven, who do you think won?
And Memphis. The runner-up? 50,000. Libra has cast her vote for Dan. April's vote goes to Dan. Michelle has cast her vote to Dan. His vote goes to the winner of Big Brother 10.
I was wrong.
Congratulations.
But she didn't watch. So.
That Judas, I had a 50-50 chance.
Wait, listen to this.
Rennie, Keisha, and Jerry all went to you, Dan. So it was
Memphis didn't get a single vote.
I voted for just then.
Steve,
yes, Memphis, whose real name is Bob.
The only thing I wanted to question about the whole finale was, what was Sam Levine, the little actor guy from Freaks and Geeks, doing on the front row of the audience? if you saw the guy, you know what I'm talking about.
I know who Sam. I know who he is.
He was just sitting there in the front row with like his buddy, and they're kind of whispering to each other, like probably making fun of everything. It's like, what the hell is he doing there?
Oh yeah, I'm sure they were.
I was like,
it's
what?
Like, hey, we need a kind of.
He really likes Big Brother.
Get yourself ready for a trip through McDonald's Land.
He's the only celebrity they could afford to sit in the audience?
I think he wanted to be there. Maybe,
you know what? He was probably walking down the street whenever they pulled the audience.
Hey, dude,
in.
Free tickets, Big Brother finale. He's like, what the hell, man?
I'm not doing anything.
Freaks and Geeks is over.
I'm in between auditions, whatever. Now, did you guys watch Kitchen Nightmares?
Yes.
Did you check it out? Yes. I'm going to just go ahead and say this. This is the worst episode of Kitchen Nightmares there has ever been. Am I right? It seemed rushed. It seemed like it ends abruptly with no resolution.
Yeah, exactly. I was like going, was
and Gordon turns into Dr. Phil halfway
through.
Yeah,
and the restaurant is called Giuseppe's. Hey, it's a Giuseppe's. I love that.
And it's
the
next
name.
To Wang Wong. Or
Wing Wong's. Bill and I kept mentioning, I was like, dude, I want to eat at that place next door, at Chinese place. Go get some wings or Wing Wong's.
It's a
Wing Wong's, yeah.
It's a hairstyle place, Bill.
No,
I was teasing. I'm teasing.
What are you talking about?
Y'all were like both going, what? Really?
Oh, there's an electric tan next door, so you can get a tan there, and maybe they do hair, and then go into Wing Wong's, get some sesame chicken, and avoid Giuseppe's altogether.
Now, at Giuseppe's, it's a father-son thing, and the mom and the dad won't get the hell out of the kitchen while the son is trying to win his love over. And
he's got the diabetes.
Yeah, he mentioned the diabetes quite often. But here's this part where there was a steak that went back and forth in the kitchen like how many times? Do you guys remember that? They're like, we need it well done. And it kept going. Listen to this part right here, this exchange. I wouldn't eat here ever again after this exchange.
I wouldn't even wipe my ass with it.
There's towels right there. Towel down here.
Yo, did not like...
What the hell?
How's that steak on that redo?
You want me to cook it? It doesn't come out of my ass, okay?
All right. I hope it doesn't come out of your ass.
Yeah, that's not a good advertisement.
The fact that some people talk about meat in their ass is enough.
Yeah, I don't think this will be a revisited next year.
What the hell? Do you think they have a dramatic enough commercial break explosion with knives and forks and shit?
It was the same way with whenever the one helper chef left and they added in the screeching tires.
Yeah. Listen to this. I mean, serious. Do we need this much racket?
Everybody dropping their plates and forks.
Okay, here's what I want to say about the show. Okay, in this clip, the music is so overdone, overproduced in the show. We've talked about this before. But listen to every single word uttered has a sound effect to it in this clip. It's just everything has this...
a punctuation
Yeah,
point.
A punctuation mark on everything said. Just listen to how ridiculous this is.
I've never seen so much food go in a microwave in all my life. Like no one's striving to be better. You tell me how you feel about the frozen food.
I hate it.
What the
f- I'm embarrassed to say it's my food.
Why don't you tell Dad that you want to cook fresh?
Dad, I want to cook fresh. I want to cook fresh.
There's that Ford Pinto sound.
He likes to cook.
Family.
I don't want my children.
Freaking therapy with Gordon Ramsay.
What the hell?
That is bad. That's really. There's way too much cymbal and drum and
everything.
Keyboard and fake violin.
You know what?
I wouldn't even wipe my ass with it.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. I wouldn't wipe my ass with that clip.
I should go online and see if Giuseppe's is still in business.
Well, okay, first of all, you know, this episode, I assume the kitchen was fine. That he didn't go in and, you know...
Tear it apart.
Go, oh, look at that. It's all dirty. It didn't do any of that. In fact, the ones...
Didn't remodel it.
Yeah, no, they remodeled it, the outside. Remember?
Yeah.
Well, the
so sous chef outside, but the interior.
Yeah, out of nowhere, the sous chef has like, or I guess that's who he was, the part time chef. They're having problems at the main. You know, he changes the menu. Two specials that he has them come up with. Big deal, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so, they both look not particularly appetizing.
He was like, "Guess what? They're both going to be on the menu."
This is my pork chop stuffed with scallops.
Out of nowhere, the other guy in the kitchen starts getting pissed off at Gordon Ramsay when he's yelling at him. Let's check this out. It didn't make any sense to me.
All I want to do is cut the around and just concentrate a little bit. Because if you concentrate, won't come back raw. Just quit the around, you'll see a difference in the standard. Come on, guys. I know we can do better.
Yeah, we can do better.
Oh, come on, concentrate.
Yes, chef.
Who that?
It's stone cold and raw.
You know whose fault all this is tonight? It's his.
The people are done eating and she hasn't got her dinner.
I haven't even gotten my food yet. I want to leave.
You know who I blame? I blame all this on you.
Holy shit! Could that be even... I blame all this on you. The whole shit restaurant blows
That
up.
Was his internal music. Like, what?
Chef Ramsay giving us a hand. And now you're going to turn around and basically spit in his face and say, it's your fault that I suck? That's horrible. I feel sorry for the man.
You just got to slow down, stop being a goofball, throwing food out there.
Good, great.
Nothing
thanks.
Complicated.
Outstanding.
Good man.
Good man.
Get back in your truck.
Right.
Coming to me looking for excuses.
Excuses? I got no excuses.
You just said you blamed me.
Oh, yeah,
when I first arrived.
That's cool. Thanks, chef.
Huh? What a idiot. Supposed to be in this together, right? Cement mixer.
This guy's a pain in the ass.
Where's Brian?
He's out of there.
Oh, there's the pot and pans again. Oh, everything blew up.
He drove right into the pots and pans.
What? I'd love that. Let's play that again with the... Okay, it's like Lost or something. Something just happened. Like, they discovered what Dharma's all about or something. It's like,
you know what? I blame all this on you.
It's like, what the hell? And then at the end, you know, he has them write letters about each other. He's like, Dad, I really love you. I just wish you'd say you appreciated me. And his dad, he's
because
like,
"Because I'm needy.
I think you're ready to run. You're ready to run the restaurant, and I love you." And they hug. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
They usually do like 1 month later. The restaurant is still doing well. They're doing community projects, and now the dad has on health insurance, which he couldn't afford before. They didn't do any of that. It just went to
and
credit.
And he's dealing with his diabetes.
Yeah.
Wilford Brimley.
He keeps talking about his diabetes. I got the diabetes. You know, what did he say? His mom and his brother died of diabetes, and the guy doesn't have health insurance? Because he can't afford it? What?
Their feet fell off. I couldn't believe it.
That didn't make any sense at all. Feet fell off. But seriously, I mean, the first episode seemed kind of rushed too. And yeah. The second one seems like it was even more rushed. What is the third episode going to be like?
I think Gordon Ramsay just wants to get the hell out of the United States. And I don't blame him. I really don't.
But I mean, I don't know. I got nothing. All I was just like, huh? It's over? Didn't you feel that way too when it ended?
Yes.
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, I was like going, is that, you know, and I kept waiting. Is that it?
They just had the guy that you never saw previously that he blamed for.
You know who I blame? I blame all this on you.
Like, what?
Doesn't come out of my ass, okay?
Yeah, it kind of comes
out of my ass.
It's like, hey, that steak didn't come out of my ass, all right? No, sir, you know, yeah, your dinner's ready. He's like, hey,
no,
you talking
about
my
ass?
So what's
ass.
The matter of you?
I won't even wipe my
no respect.
Ass
you don't like the food? You go to Wing Wong's next door, or whatever the hell that place is called.
Go to Wing Wong's. You get you a nice fried rice.
You know, screw that. I'm not going there. I'm going to McDonald's.
Get you some.
I'm going to the Electric Pan.
Oh, yeah. What do you say we take a break? We come right back and talk about an all-new Fringe. Yes. All right. Well, we'll be right back, everybody. Hang in there.
Every morning when we go out to face the 1,440 minutes that make up our day, it's nice to know that Artie, the strongest man in the world, is out there somewhere looking after us.
Nickelodeon presents The Adventures of Pete and Pete. Starring Pete, Pete's brother Pete, and me, Ellen. Today's adventure...
Artie, the strongest man in the world!
No one knows the full extent of his powers. Once he saved us from this maniac schnauzer.
Your kind never learns, does it, Flabby?
By making him fetch a baton he threw all the way to Scandinavia. Another time, he protected us from the deadly wrath of the evil Mrs. Gillespie. Without even flinching.
Your weapons are useless against me!
He says his secret weapon is his costume. It's a 60-40 blend. You just take it out of the dryer, and instantly, you're ready to fight...
Evil!
To us, the world's a little bit safer with Artie on duty.
The future is coming. Coming after you. Ruthlessly. Relentlessly. Engulfing you. Overwhelming you. Until it ultimately terminates you. And only one thing can save you.
I said I'd be back.
Terminator 2, 3D Battle Across Time. An incredible new way to ride the movies. Only at Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida.
Hasta la vista, baby.
The 1980s was an incredible decade, and the best thing about it was the music. Superstars like Hall & Oates and James Taylor recorded unforgettable love songs that have become classics. Now you can get the 80s biggest hits all on one collection. Forever 80s. Over 2.5 hours of music featuring Belinda Carlisle.
Not sold in stores.
Forever 80s has all the great songs that are both romantic and timeless. The 80s never sounded better.
To order, call the number on your screen or send check or money order. Two CDs, $26.99. Two long play cassettes, $19.99. Rush delivery available. Do it now.
What's the matter?
Oh, it's a bad dream. Someone was chasing me.
Chasing you? That could mean a couple of things.
Oh, my husband, Mr. Freud, is analyzing dreams.
Not analyzing, but my book talks about dreams like yours.
Ben Randall, referring to Mysteries of the Unknown, the Time Life series that sold over 14 million books.
Dreams and dreaming.
Uh-huh.
You of all people think dreams mean something?
Well, they may be coming around a little.
Well, what do you think my dream means?
It's right here. A dream that you're being chased could mean a feeling of guilt and a fear of being caught.
Guilt?
Mm-hmm.
What else could it mean?
Read the book. Never had a dream come true?
Never. Who has?
Sarah Allgood. In a dream, a friend said, "Have you found my gift from the grave? Look behind the picture." So Sarah looked, and there it was. Turned out to be worth over $1,000, too.
There what was?
Read the book. Read about Edward Butler's ominous psychic dream and how it tragically came true.
A psychic dream?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of dreams are there?
Well, read the book.
Read Dreams and Dreaming and start your enlightening journey into the mysteries of the unknown. The book is free for 10 days. Keep it and other volumes will follow, one about every other month, including mystic places, psychic powers, and phantom encounters. Each is thoroughly researched and objectively written, so you can come to your own conclusions.
Oh, I don't know if I can get back to sleep now. You know what? Some of that pie, maybe on the mode, might help.
Okay, you get the pie and I'll read the book.
To
order your first book, Dreams and Dreaming, call 1-800-262-6700. Examine it for 10 days. Keep it and pay just $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Other books will follow, one about every other month. Keep only the ones you want. Cancel anytime.
He stopped loving her today. That's one of my all-time favorites.
George Jones talks about his greatest lines.
And then again, I've always liked The Race Is On. Here comes Pride Up the Backstretch. They're all good. That's why they're hits. But you know, I'm about to come out with the greatest line I ever had.
Introducing George Jones Country Gold Dog Food, George's own line of 100% complete and balanced foods.
You thought I was talking about a new song, didn't you?
You are now entering the Party Zone, a new 36-song collection of today's hottest dance tracks.
I'm looking for a new love, baby.
Call toll-free now for the Party Zone. Cassettes $19.98, CDs $26.98. Call now.
One time I hired a monkey to take notes for me in class. I would just sit there with my mind a complete blank while the monkey scribbled on little pieces of paper. At the end of the week, the teacher said, "Class, I want you to write a paper using your notes." So I wrote a paper that said, "Hello, my name is Bingo. I like to climb on things. Can I have a banana? Eat cake." I got an F. When I told my mom about it, she said, "I told you never trust a monkey." The end.
Oh, no, it's baseball. Bo knows football. Bo knows basketball, too.
Bo knows tennis?
No.
Bo knows weight.
Bo, you don't know diddly.
We're going to have us some fun.
A lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
It warms your ass. It's wonderful. You tried it?
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
All right. Hey, we're back, everyone. We're back from our break. Are you with us, Bill? Dun, 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 dun.
Sorry, I had my microphone.
I was like, we lost Bill. I'll just go.
I was sitting there going, yes, I'm here.
Like, Bill, what were you doing?
Get yourself ready for a trip.
Yeah, I didn't want you to hear my bong water.
All right, let's talk about Fringe, because that clip there about the ass warming was from Fringe, and it was great. I love that. Automatically, it's been two episodes of the show, and I love that doctor.
Yes.
He's so subtle, and everything he says is always so straight-faced.
Yeah.
Everything he says cracks me up. Like, it starts out crazy with these two people have obviously had sex, and all of a sudden the chick is screaming, and her stomach is growing. Oh, my God. And they,
I thought it was aliens.
But isn't that, it's like heartless. The guy dumps her off on the side of the hospital and drives away. They pull her in there, and she dies, and they cut open her stomach, and there's a baby, and there's, like, the lady's like going, ah! And I was like, what the hell is going on in the show? And so, of course, they call these people in the middle of the night, you know, our
Fringe team specialist.
Yes. And they have this famous scientist guy. You know, I really got to learn the names of the characters on the show. There's Pacey.
Yeah, I have no idea. Time.
There's the doctor, Pacey, and blonde girl. That's what I got so far. So let's go ahead and play the scene here where the doctor is yet to get out of the car because he loves the seat warmer.
Peter Bishop, I'm Philip Broyles, Department of Homeland Security. Thank you for agreeing to work with us.
Just to be clear, I haven't agreed to anything. I'm just here as the babysitter. My father is the one you want.
Nice to meet you anyway. Is he coming out?
Well, that's unclear. He's currently in the car fiddling around with the seat warmer.
Dr. Bishop, hello. I appreciate you coming out tonight.
I've never seen a feature like this before. It warms your ass. It's wonderful. Have you tried it?
And I love they show the guy. He doesn't say anything. It just shows his face for a second, like, dumbfounded. But hey, am I easily amused? I don't know, but I love that.
It warms your ass. It warms your ass. It's wonderful.
I love that. It warms your ass.
I love that. Have you tried it?
That is it. I mean, that's really, I mean, just somebody who's been locked away, and that's something that they...
Hey, and it's cold outside? I'd like my ass warm. Why not?
At least he's not, like, fiddling around with the TV or going, wow, these cell phone things are amazing.
They call this an iPod. It's like, come on. How do I sync my music?
A really simple, simple device, like keeping your bow warm, you know?
Yeah.
And basically, okay, there's this guy who kills women and steals their pituitary gland to keep him young because he was grown rapidly into adult form, but to keep himself from keep aging and then dying.
More rapidly, yeah.
Yeah. Basically,
he's a clone trooper.
Yeah, okay, listen here. Let's listen here as the doctor explains what all this is about, and it did make me think of clone troopers from Attack of the Clones. Let's check it out.
You're right. The pituitary gland has indeed been removed, and I may be able to posit an hypothesis as to why. Years ago, when I worked with the Defense Department, we were tasked with a program designed to cultivate soldiers.
Cultivate?
Yes, my master Cyphus Dias.
Highly theoretical, of course. Female eggs were to be fertilized in a lab and
on a planet called Genosha.
If perfected, a baby was born and within 3 years aged to the equivalent of a 21-year-old male, a soldier in prime condition.
You're telling me you developed a way to grow soldiers, people,
theoretically. The only problem
they all look like Tamira Morrison.
Once the subject had reached the desired...
However you say his name.
Once started, we couldn't turn the aging off.
So you think now what? That the killer somehow continued your work?
Not exactly. But I believe...
he's Jango Fett.
...that the killer is the product. A test tube human afflicted with rapid aging. To slow the process, he must extract the hormones from the pituitary glands of his victims to treat himself, to stay young.
Then the pregnant woman at the hospital...
She was an accident. And the killer's condition was passed on to the baby.
Even condoms are not 100% effective. You too should be aware of this. That night he was going to kill her, but first they fornicated, had intercourse, sex.
Okay, we got it.
I just love that guy. He's hilarious. There's all this serious stuff going on, but he's even milking a cow in his lab, you know?
Yeah.
I thought you were working on this.
He's just such a great character.
He sleeps in the closet because he's scared?
No, he can only get to sleep if that one guy sings some song. What's the song?
Row Your Boat. Row Your Boat. Because then later on when his son, you know, it's a touching moment where he sings it to get him to sleep because he won't stop saying these numbers and keeping up. He's like, is that you, Peter? Or, you know, that's his son's name, Peter.
Like, who are you, Tyra Banks, all of a sudden?
Are you Peter? What do you mean?
Have you heard of Angelina Jolie before?
Oh, shut up! So, anyway, there's just this weird thing where this guy and his creator helped him find these pituitary glands to keep him young. It was crazy stuff, man. The coolest part in the whole show, though, was when he talks about you can get images that are left in the eye, the retinal area, electrical photographs after you're dead, and they use this machine.
But you've only got 4 hours.
Yeah, they use this machine to look at the images that she saw, and one of them was looking at a bridge, and they figured out where she was killed at. But I thought that all that stuff, I know it's all made up or whatever, but it's cooler than anything on CSI. Well,
you know what's bad? It's like Montreal guy in the chat room just said, the show isn't as smart as The X-Files. It's not trying to be The X-Files. It's just a fun show.
Right.
That's what it is. It's not nearly as deep or trying to be nearly as deep as The X-Files, I don't think.
Well, first of all, there's only been two freaking episodes. I mean, come on. Yeah. Let it grow into itself a little bit.
And it's not based, like it said, in true science. It's this
make-believe
science. Well, so they can make up their own rules.
I read several people say in comment sections, which you should avoid, by the way, because
Like,
what's with the Lost music? It sounds just like Lost. It's the same dude doing the music, all right? And that's his style. If you listen to John Barry do multiple movies, it's a similar style, different melodies, etc. Unless it's James Horner, which is the same music and everything he does. But
yes,
it's very effective. Watch a season of Alias and then tell me it's the same as Lost. Okay, I mean, it was Alias first, then he's doing Lost, now he's doing this also, but it's the same guy.
Similar style.
It's great music. I mean, here's a clip from the last episode.
You know who I blame? I blame all this on you.
Come on, that's awesome, isn't it?
Oh, man, that's so tension-filled.
But I love Fringe, and Montreal Guy, just keep watching it. I think it'll get better.
It's a fun show.
It is. It's good stuff. Now let's get on to an even better show called Smallville.
Dude.
And this is like the most confusing episode of Smallville ever. It's like, what the hell's going on in this episode?
I don't think they even tried.
It's like, I was like, Clark, last time we saw him, he was in the collapsing Fortress of Solitude. Now he's like working with Nazis on somewhere who are being
He's in
to?
China with Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, remember the beginning of Batman crates. Begins? He's in prison, Bruce Wayne is.
Right.
I thought, you know, it was like...
Okay. I don't even think it's a prison. I think it's like a, I don't know, like a like a slave camp.
Yeah, it was weird, but...
maybe it's a sex slave camp.
But also we have Lois Lane working as a French maid in Lex Luthor's house.
Oh, oui, oui, madame.
Because what, she's looking for clues as to where he is in his house, which, how long has he been gone? Like a couple of weeks? Everything's covered in sheets to keep the dust off.
And
dusty. You know that, you know, the best place to find clues of where you're at is where you're not.
She has this. This lady comes in to take over for Lex, and she has a witty exchange with Lois, who she knows, you're not a French maid. You're a reporter with the Daily Planet, and she gives her this little bit of wisdom.
By the way, next time, might want to try microfiber. Works wonders.
Instead of her feather duster.
Yeah, that was genius.
The best part, though, is Chloe. She's locked up by what they think is Homeland Security, but it's not. They're lying to her. It's really Luthor Corp. And they're trying to trick her into finding Green Arrow and all of his minions. The best part is he's asking her. He's showing her his quick images, right, Bill? And she's got to be able to farm out what she's looking at in the algorithm or something. Let's check this out. It's really cool.
Barn, tiger, car, hammer, tree, building, cup, phone, toaster, house, doll, football, book, umbrella, bench, paperclip.
What the hell is that?
Right on.
Barn, tiger, car, hammer, tree, building, cup, phone, toaster, house, doll, football, book, umbrella, bench, paperclip.
And you got them all. Do you see an algorithm? Yes, every fourth frame has an algorithm or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cup and the tiger do not go. Paperclip.
One of these things does not belong.
And then the guy asked her this.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
And then whacked her in the head with an axe.
When she says no, he shoots her in the head because he's a big fan. He hits her in the head with an axe. But, what else is going on?
So the Russian Mafia now has Clark.
Yeah, the Russian Mafia has Clark, and they're doing things with him.
He keeps trying to escape, and they keep beating the shit out of him. But here's the best part. They're just about to kill him, and all of a sudden this music kicks in. And here comes Green Arrow. He's like, yeah, I'd like to buy some illegal goods, and I'll go ahead and buy this guy from you, too.
I want to buy
all what
the
kind
caviar
of,
you got.
He looks at Clark and says, what are you looking at? Then they get into it. and start fighting.
Yeah, and he's
and
like,
I think he pulls a rubber knife on him, like
yeah,
OJ.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm gonna buy him from you so I can kill him later. And the guy's like, you can have him on the house. And then they walk away like buddies, like, okay, we're yeah. free. And the guy's like, wait a second, you guys know each other or anything like
he
that?
He goes, I'll take this young punk and finish him off.
I'll like, take this young strapping like, lad,
like 20 years older than Clark or something.
The fornicator.
This young punk
had intercourse.
Oh, what the!
I think that's actually what happened.
I'd laugh my ass off whenever
they
Aquaman
went off together into the sunset, and we didn't see the scene where they were playing Enya. And
do you guys laugh whenever Aquaman shows up on the show? He's got the shit-eating grin on his face.
When they were showing him strung up, I was going, what's wrong? Oh, it's a fish out of water. Okay, it's all scaly and dried
yeah,
up now.
They put scales
and
on it.
Black Canary looks so stupid with that eye makeup crap on her face.
Well, she's a canary.
They put the little vocal block on her.
Oh. Man, nice. It was painful. You know, for somebody else taking over the show, they did not do a good job. And who the hell is this black eyelinered evil woman taking over for Lex that is supposedly more cunning than Lex ever was?
I know. It's like, you know, it's obvious they have to write in that he's missing because Michael Rosenbaum doesn't want to be on
yeah.
the show.
he like, gave him the old FU.
It's like, where is he? Oh, he doesn't want to be on the show.
He grew his hair back. We can't.
yeah. And then there's a hilarious part where they use this serum from Chloe's mom to make people do things. Ugh. And they make Green Arrow
yeah, that was
shoot.
Convenient.
They make him shoot Clark through the heart. The thing goes all the way through him and keeps going out the window. And
how come the first one didn't just go through him? You know, it stuck just.
And then the next one's like all the way through. Yeah. Oh!
Well, it was uber powerful. Yeah, they wasted the effects budget on that shot.
And then I love how all of a sudden the Martian Manhunter standing there is kind of like, whoa!
What, if some creepy black guy showed up on top of me while I was dying, I'd be like, what are you doing? Get away from me.
And he flies him to the sun and everything's okay. And one thing is, okay, he takes Clark, flies him away.
Yes.
He comes, Clark wakes up in the morning and goes, what happened? He goes, well, you're healed by the Earth's yellow sun. And by the way, I don't have powers anymore. It kind of sucks. And they're like,
yeah,
okay.
Then how did you get back?
Okay, how did Green Arrow, Chloe, Lois get out of this installation of Lex's with all these armed guards? And by the way, there's a part where he goes to save them, Green Arrow, and he goes to save Aquaman and the Black Canary, and he walks in there and he goes, oh, I see you guys are okay. Well, let me. And all of a sudden, guards come through the door, and he's like, what the? He doesn't react at all. And then the lab guy sticks him with a needle in his arm. And I'm like, what kind of superhero are you? You have no reaction time at all.
Yeah.
You don't spring to action. You're standing there like, duh.
Every other time
there are so many plot holes in this episode that Clark could have escaped through one of them in his truck.
Yeah, it's just like having a headache in your hand, you know?
Yes, the episode is like having a headache in your hand.
Yeah, I think I was having a headache in my head.
Well, then
watching this
later, oh, Clark decides, hey, no more fooling around on this farm. It's time for me to change. And then he runs into Green Arrow and Black Canary and Aquaman.
Sell the phone.
Could be back from a little R&R. Guess you had to pull your own weight for a while.
Rimshot.
Seriously though, I owe you all my life. I don't know how to thank you.
Ah, you would have done the same thing for any one of us.
Yeah, we can't take all the credit. I heard those are some pretty sweet aerodynamics your friend powered up back there.
Yeah, where you been hiding that
guy? Who talks like that?
It's a long story, but I'm sure he'll be back one day.
Superhero.
I'm so wasted.
Still got a minor problem.
That's
out
superhero
there.
Small talk.
You're not the only one thawing out from a little freezer burn there, Boy Scout.
Lex.
Yeah, we sorted through all the Arctic tests, and there's no sign of any human remains.
We need to find him. He knows my secret.
It's not going to be as easy as you think.
He knows I'm gay.
Luther Corp's even more deceptive than Lex ever was.
And now that our masks have been ripped off, we're seriously hampered.
Might as well be wearing name tags. We need to split up.
Yeah, because they identified your cell phone number.
We're soon to be sporting a homemade costume, leading a double identity, just like
we have Green Arrow's iPhone. We know where he is.
He'll never change his iPhone.
You might want to try something a little more form-fitting.
It's like throw it in the trash. They don't know where you are now.
We split up and cut off contact with each other. We lay low, find out what we can about Lex.
I won't even wipe my ass with it.
Technically, doesn't Clark owe the Martian Manhunter for his life? Those three didn't really do shit for him. Yeah. In fact, one of them tried to kill him.
He did. He shot him through the heart.
Yeah, so
And how did the Earth heal him if he didn't have powers? Wouldn't it have just melted him?
This show is so stupid.
He didn't have powers! How is he flying him into space?
I swear to God, the writers on the show aren't even trying.
I mean, come on.
It's like, well, come out of my ass, okay?
Is it the fact, okay, he's got a little bit of power hidden deep inside, so if they get close to the sun, it'll, you know...
You know what I like?
What they're reaching for?
Going
you know?
Into the sun and killed themselves.
Do you know why I love the sun?
It warms your ass. It's wonderful. Have you tried it?
Awesome.
I have tried this.
So anyway, Smallville's back, baby. We'll be talking more about that next week.
Back with a vengeance.
So let's go ahead and talk about Entourage. And before we get into the main bit of the episode, I want to say how Turtle is disturbingly just disgusting.
Remember the character of Turtle's a little much anymore.
Last week he was sitting in the car waiting and he had to watch porn there in his car. Remember that?
Yeah.
And this week Vince is trying to read a script and he's like flipping on porn just sitting next to him. He's like, Turtle, do you mind? He's like, what? And he's like smoking his pot or whatever.
It's not like I'm going to whip it out and whack it right here or something.
It's like, dude, come on. Get a hobby or something. He's always trying to... And the worst part is you watch him porn with other people in the room. It's just kind of creepy.
That is real. That's off. Maybe he should go to the rehab that David Duchovny went to.
That's what I'm thinking. They got to get into that storyline where he goes to recovery for sexual addiction or
perversion or whatever.
He's definitely perverted or something.
Maybe that was Duchovny's problem. He liked watching porn in front of his family. Hey, kids, let's sit down and watch some double penetration anal.
Yeah, there's definitely something wrong with Turtle and, Drama, we already know, is insane. And
oh
I love
my God.
He's upset. You know, he's always talking to his girlfriend. But I love
it's
how...
Like every 2 hours or something.
And then he's lying to her about where he is. He's like, oh, I'm at home. My internet's down. And it's like, why is he lying? But I love how...
She's in France.
I love how he's basically... You know, she stops answering the phone or she's not there because we know her friend got hurt. And at first he's like, baby, where are you? I'm trying to get a hold of you. You're not mad at me, are you? And he calls her again. He's telling her, I'm really worried. Then all of a sudden he's like, where the F are you? You know, yelling at the top of his lungs. And Tony Bennett's like, hey, did his mother teach him to talk like that? But whatever. Anyway, the whole episode's about how Vinny's in movie jail, right?
Yes.
He can't make a movie. He can't get a job because he screwed up so bad. And he goes to talk to Ari, and Ari pretty much explains this to him.
Came back from Mexico, motivated, ready to work. And correct me if I'm wrong, you basically said that I can't.
No. What I said was...
I know what you said. I just want to know what it means. Do you really have a plan, Ari? Really? You always said you were going to be the guy to give it to me straight. So come on, give it to me straight. Am I going to be okay?
I don't know.
I mean, one bad movie and this is what happens? I mean, was I really that awful?
Straight up, Vinny, the movie was awful. And yes, you were awful in it.
And I love how he's straight with him that, you know, he says, am I a good actor? And he goes, you're a good movie star. He won't
see. It remains to be seen.
Yeah. And basically, it is true in all the previous episodes. That's what always got on my nerves about Vinny. Is he never took anything serious when Eric's trying to get him a job or whatever. He never really, he always blew everything off, but now it's...
Well, he was like that. Well, what he said was, you know, he's like, look, I came from nothing. I'll go back to nothing. He never really cared about the money or the Hollywood scene.
Yeah. And I understood that, but now he looks like a jackass because he made such a horrible movie.
Right.
So what does he do? He goes out and grabs a chick that he's never had sex with so he can take her home and have sex with her.
Yeah, so he's
that
changed.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
He's changed.
He did this.
He fornicated, had intercourse, sex.
Okay, we got it.
So another thing is Eric, he found the script about firefighters. And first of all, is Giovanni Ribisi, he's so typecast as a dumb guy, isn't he?
He's always typecast as like a drunken hick.
And him and Lucas Haas... play the guys.
Yeah,
that
Lucas Haas is. He gets pretty much the same thing.
I haven't seen him in anything since Brick, but you know, I was happy to see him. But when I saw Giovanni Ribisi was the writing partner, I was like, oh god, why do they keep hiring this dude?
He's one of those guys that I see and I tune out. Like, I can't stand him. I start thinking of Scientology, and he's just, ugh.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's just like having a headache in your hand, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so anyway, we're going to see in the next coming episodes him trying to get his act back together. E takes the script to Carla Gugino, which I never mind seeing.
No, never mind seeing
and
her.
We know he's going to sell the script, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
Definitely. And he will be supporting them for a while, maybe. I don't know. But
well, these guys were like, you know, they're...
Excuse me?
He's like, you represent Vinny. You can't get Vinny to do our movie, and you represent him? What the hell?
He's like, no, he's got to do a studio picture.
That's a little different. Sorry, guys.
But I love, at the end, Vinny talks to the girl singer. I don't know who she was. And drama's in the back, and he's drinking some whiskey. He's like, oh, you guys are together now? Oh, that's just great.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, that is beautiful. So, anyway... The show's only 20 minutes, so what are we going to do? Now, did everyone watch True Blood?
Yes.
Still very interested in this show. It's really cool and interesting. It's crazy. There's something kind of scary about it, too. You know? She invites the vampire Bill to her house. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that was very entertaining.
I love the line where her stupid brother Jason says it, Grandma! What are you doing making a fool out of me? She goes, you do that just fine by yourself. Because he's like, I don't know if I like this vampire being over here.
And I still think the grandma boned a vampire.
Well, I love her black friend who, what is her name? I can't learn names in these shows.
I can't remember her name either.
We got the doctor. We got the blonde girl. We got Pacey in this show.
At least
the black girl.
Sookie.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know Snooky.
And Jason. No, Sookie.
Snooky.
And Vampire Bill. And
Vampire Bill, yeah.
Her friend, I love how she's like just laying on him because she's so in love with this idiot. I don't have no idea why, but she kind of explains that we're both idiots. Maybe that's why she wants to be happy with Moron or whatever. But there's interesting how he talks about what is that weird thing he says about being able to hypnotize people and letting them.
He can entrance them.
Did he say glamour?
Glamour, yeah.
And he can't do it to her, and that creeps him out. It's like, what the hell are you? My powers don't work on you. But
I like that she laughed at him when he tried it. You know?
Yeah, well, remember it ended on the...
Is that what you do, really?
A cliffhanger last week of that white trash couple beating the crap out of her.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he takes care of them, and he says, drink my blood. You won't be a vampire. It'll just, you know, heal you. And make you feel great or whatever. And remember he explained that you'll be able to... Your senses will be more in tune. But did he mention a time that it'll wear off eventually? Or is she just going to be permanently
I just kind of assumed it would.
Like eventually wear off?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like a drug.
Well, the next day...
Because that's
turns,
what those guys... They were hunting him for his blood because they liked that feeling it gave
him. Yeah, he said, can sell the blood.
So obviously it has to wear off.
Well, you can also sell the blood because humans can drink it and feel great or whatever. It heightens your strength and everything like that. But another thing is he showed that he staged their deaths by a tornado, hit their trailer or whatever. And there's this, remember the weird outspoken preacher who's against vampires or whatever? They said that him and his family died in a car accident, a freak car accident. I mean, she realizes, Sookie, when she sees that was staged. They were murdered to make it look like a car accident, right?
Right.
And also her brother is cleared of the murder of that chick. Wasn't that uncomfortable when he's watching that video having sex with a girl with the two sheriffs in there?
Yeah, and the one guy in back just... enjoying it.
And
briefly.
Then, you know, he's like choked her. He's like, oh my God, she's dead. She's dead. And it shows him leaving the video. And then it shows her like laughing like idiot. That was pretty crazy. But most of all, at the very end, when she shows up to Bill's house and the weird, creepy vampires are there.
Yes. The weird. And one of them was the one that had sex with the chick that pretended she was dead.
Yeah, who's now dead. And he can roll his eyes back in his head sideways or something. What the hell was that?
That's talent. He should be on America's Got Talent.
But anyway, the show has me intrigued. I can't wait to see more. And I was saying, this is the kind of show I wish I had, like, every episode already so I could just watch it all at once.
You know, he answered a question. You know, I was like, you know, we saw it on, like, Lost Boys. You say, you got to be invited in.
Yeah.
And he goes, what if I uninvite you? then I have to leave.
Yeah.
And I always wondered, it's like, okay, once they're invited, are they always, can they always get in, you know?
Yeah. I like when she says.
Well, I think everybody, like this certain author made up her own vampire lore.
Yeah,
so.
I think every writer does that, like Anne Rice or whatever. They all invent their own kind of lore. And that's what we want to know as viewers, what rules they have in place. Like holy water, does that do it? We know that silver does.
Well, I know that was one of the rules that I'd heard before. You know, you have to invite the vampire in.
I love that scene because she's like, what's wrong? He's like, I can't enter until you invite me. She goes, well, just try to. And he goes, I just can't. I can't even try. And it's just like, wow, that's really weird. But he's like, I can't even myself to even try to get in. I just can't do it.
Is he going to hit an electronic fence? You know,
he just said, I can't even attempt to. It's just like, can't happen.
Yeah.
That was pretty weird.
And that's what I think she was expecting. Like, is it like a force field he hits, you know, poof, and he can't. I can't try it.
And I love how her character is so just nice and, you know, she seems like a very sweet person and all this crazy shit around her doesn't seem to faze her at all.
She's just kind of pure and almost
like she's. I mean, well, she's grown up with being slightly off, if you will. You know,
every guy she helps, she's like, "Can I take your?" He's like, "Oh man, I'd love to do some."
bend you over and back.
Yeah, everything's like all these horrible graphic things that they want to do to her.
They fornicated, had intercourse, sex.
Okay, we got it.
All right. Well, what do you say, Bill? We get into the news. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's do it. Let's do the news.
Barn, tiger, car, hammer, tree, building, cup, phone, toaster, house, doll, football, book, umbrella, bench, paperclip.
All right.
Mulberryville.
All right, yes. Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
First thing I wanted to mention in the news was there was last Sunday, there was a special that aired on, I think it was Channel 4 in the UK, called Bring Back Star Wars. It was hosted by this comedian. I think his name's Justin Lee Collins. And I watched it this week, and just it was really, really interesting for anybody that's a huge fan of the original films. And he goes to L.A. and he searches down people. He has a list of people that he wants to interview. You know, Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and then all the like second players like Peter Mayhew and Anthony Daniels, Kenny Baker. Yeah. So he goes and first thing he tries to do is get a paparazzi to help him hunt down Harrison Ford. he's never able to contact Harrison Ford, and he was never able to secure a meeting. He calls Mark Hamill's agent, and the agent says, "Sure, you can talk to him about Star Wars for $50,000."
Holy crap.
Yeah, and he's like, "Well, I don't know how to do that." So he goes out on the street, this campaign to bring back Mark Hamill, and he ends up getting like several thousand dollars in donations. And they call back the agent and say, "Hey, you know, we've got a couple thousand. We could never do 50,000." And they said, "No, Mark won't talk to you." So that was that. You know, and the guy was like close to tears. Like, he just didn't understand why Mark Hamill wouldn't talk to him about Star Wars. What was really cool, though, is he actually goes to Carrie Fisher's house, and one of his aides pretends to be a delivery boy, and like he just presses the button on the intercom, and he's like, "Delivery for Miss Fisher," and they let him right in. So they're all like, "Holy crap, he got in." So then he grabs a bouquet of flowers and presses the button that says, "Delivery for Miss Fisher." And they let him in. Then the whole crew gets in and they go to the door and she comes out. And she's like, "You know, this is setting a very weird precedent for fans." And so she actually took him into her house and showed her all the collectibles, including her very adult Princess Leia slave girl outfit statue that George Lucas sent her with the fully removable bra.
Wow.
Yeah, really creepy. And she, it was just a really great show, like going back and interviewing. Carrie Fisher had some great stories that I'd never heard before, and he got a hold of Anthony Daniels, who was very, very proper.
Yeah.
Kenny Baker talked about how when he was in R2-D2, he was actually looking at nudie magazines the entire time, basically. Yeah. And he tricked Peter Mayhew into a meeting because Peter Mayhew will always show up for fans. So he got together some fans and had Peter Mayhew come, and he interviewed him, and he interviewed the guy who played Boba Fett and Darth Vader, and Lando was there, and he even got Warwick Davis.
Wow.
But it was a really great show, and they talked about there was a good scene with him and Warwick Davis in a hot tub where they just talked about how it's really kind of sad that Mark Hamill wants absolutely nothing to do with anything Star Wars anymore. It's just like he feels like he should have been the one that got famous, not Harrison Ford, and he's still holding on to that grudge.
Well, he's a great cartoon voice now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I don't understand why he wouldn't want to. I mean, it's such a celebrated thing.
Maybe he's just sick of it all. I don't know. I guess, I mean, we wouldn't know unless we were him, but he probably gets asked so much Star Wars stuff that now he just like, I'll charge you money if you want to talk to me. But yeah, how do I see this show?
It's probably on YouTube. It's called Bring Back Star Wars. I'm sure somebody put it up there in parts.
Okay, I'll check it out.
You might want to check those. I downloaded it from a TV torrent site this week, but it just caught my eye. It said Bring Back Star Wars. I was like, hey, I'll check that out.
Sweet.
It was really good.
Sounds cool, man.
But other than that, we'll get to some news here. Hey.
Okay. Star Wars. Yeah.
That is one hell of a solo. A solo?
A hand solo? Nice.
All right, Bill, what do we have?
A hand solo.
You know what I love about Star Wars, seriously, though?
It warms your ass.
Yes, it does.
You tried it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's see where this is. Granbury. I don't know where Granbury is. I hate whenever I don't write
Granbury.
Down the state. Yes.
Granbury.
Anyways, one person's spirit symbol is another person's banner of doom, according to Hood County residents involved in an unlikely scrap over a black skull and crossbones flag intended to rally football fans around the Granbury High School Pirates. I've started a big stink, evidently, in Granbury, said Nadra Arnold Curry, who spoke up at a recent Hood County Commissioner's Court meeting to register her disapproval of the black flags distributed by the Touchdown Club football boosters. I appreciate our teams and coaches, too, but I have to stand up for my biblical convictions. The 39-year-old Granbury resident branded the flag satanic and warn the city that it could be risking the wrath of God by flaunting them.
What?
Yeah. We are evil, satanic pirates. It said Hood County Commissioners listened
satanic?
And granted the Booster
about?
Club... What?
They're just scallywags. They're not
satanic.
Yeah, I
know. I don't understand this. Hood County Commissioners listened and granted the Booster Club permission to post them on county property. It had nothing to do with the content of the flags, Commissioner Dick Roan said.
Unbelievable!
Most of the flags in question were in the city of Granbury, but for the two or three that were on the county property, we approved them.
I guess this
lady's just a wackadoo.
Dick.
She says, everything
Dick.
I've ever read about black flags and white skull and bones, it's called the flag of death. That's what I automatically think of when I see it. Gloom and doom.
What?
Oh.
The next time I have to come in here, I'm cracking skulls.
She's an idiot.
I'll say. I don't even know what the hell she's talking about.
Yeah, they're satanic. The owner of Sarge's comic store in downtown New London was sentenced Thursday in federal court to 6 months of home confinement and 2 years of probation for producing and selling pirated DVDs.
No!
Wow, that's... That's a really tough sentence for a comic store owner. Wow. Home confinement. Yeah. I'll just stay at home and read my comics for 2 years.
Home confinement? I mean, does he have internet, I hope?
Yeah, I would assume he does.
Well, he can order stuff from Amazon.
He said he has plans to keep his store open. He's been in business since 1999, employs 4 full-time and 3 part-time students.
Wow, that's a profitable comic store.
Or, I'm sorry, employees, the part-time students. And I guess he went under a federal raid between 2004 and 2005 for selling these pirated DVDs and CDs. So he was probably selling like pirated foreign films that you couldn't get on, here in America on DVD or something.
DVD duplication pirating empire. It's not a game.
So it was like it's like illegal anime or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're going to stay at home now. Watch the DVDs you've been selling.
You know, I've always heard about, like, if you, like, had illegal Star Wars stuff, like homemade stuff, and you sold it, that you got in trouble for that. I mean, this is like
the fan copies, like the fan edits?
I'm hearing about this stuff, like, even in the 80s. No, I'm talking about, like, if you had homemade, say you made homemade T-shirts, Star Wars t-shirts, and sold them in your comic store, you would get raided for that shit. Somebody would find out about it. Somebody would know and report you. I remember a comic book store I went to, they had this Darth Vader shirt, and it was pretty cool looking, and the next time I was in there, I heard that they had to get rid of all of them because they weren't official merchandise that they were selling. So George Lucas doesn't like this stuff.
No, he wants his money.
Yeah.
Ann Arbor, Michigan police said they arrested a man who was masturbating behind a downtown building Wednesday afternoon.
Start over. What?
Ann Arbor, Michigan police said they arrested a man who was masturbating behind a downtown building Wednesday afternoon, but police said he does not match the description of a man who exposed himself to 2 women in separate incidents. Police received a report at about 12:30 p.m. that a naked man was sitting on a milk crate behind the buildings. They found the man shirtless and his pants down around his ankles. He had a beer in one hand and was masturbating with the other while leaning over a pornographic magazine.
Oh, okay.
Hell, man, he's multitasking. Man, that would have to hurt to jack off on a milk crate.
He fornicated, had intercourse, sex.
Okay, we got it.
No, he's...
Officer arrested the 50-year-old man for indecent exposure. Charges are pending.
So it's like, no, he isn't that other pervert. This guy's a different pervert.
This guy's a different pervert.
Pleasuring himself.
Benjamin Trotzman, 37, was spotted driving erratically in the early hours of the morning by another trucker who called police. He was traveling north on the M6 and was seen veering across the carriageway over a 25-mile stretch between Kendal and Penrith in Cumbria in the UK. A Cumbria police spokesman said the driver was seen to be watching a film on a laptop computer that was situated on the dashboard in his cab.
That's awesome.
He appeared oblivious to other motorists and continued to drive in an erratic manner, speeding up, slowing down, and crossing on occasions to the hard shoulder. Police stopped the truck, and when they examined his laptop, it appeared that Trotzman had been watching Battlestar Galactica.
Nice. Awesome.
Trotzman of Bridgnorth, Shropshire, initially pleaded guilty to a charge of driving dangerously. He then applied to withdraw his guilty plea and change it to not guilty, but magistrates rejected the request. His solicitor told magistrates that Trotzman had entered his guilty plea in the heat of the moment. He said, my client's case is, yes, I was driving along. Yes, I did have my laptop on my dashboard, but it had a Google map or whatever on it.
Get your motherfucking hands off me!
So he's saying that he wasn't watching Battlestar Galactica. He had GPS going.
I was going to ask
Google
him,
Maps.
I was going to ask him what season he was watching. Is he catching up on the last season?
I think he was just catching up.
Or was it the original Battlestar Galactica? Because I heard anniversary.
It's the current Battlestar Galactica.
It's better than getting caught watching like Sasquatch Mountain or something.
Yeah, or the no, never mind.
What?
I was gonna say the Apple Dumpling Gang. Only because you said Sasquatch Mountain.
Dude, if he was watching the Sasquatch Gang, that'd be awesome advertising for that movie.
Yeah, that would be. Fire in a hole.
He's gay.
No. This is great. I love when like stupid criminals actually take care of themselves. In San Francisco, a car burglary suspect fell to his death early Thursday after he climbed over a wall on San Francisco's Telegraph Hill while trying to flee from police officers. Apparently unaware that on the other side of the 3-foot wall was a 200-foot cliff.
Holy crap.
Yeah. The man was identified by a San Francisco medical examiner's office as James Ronald Cockrum.
Nice name. Not Ronald Cockrum. McDonald, right?
Get yourself ready for a trip.
No. James Ronald Cockrum.
Ronald Cockrum.
Yep, Cockrum. His grandmother said Cockrum was the married father of a 2-year-old girl, and he was an Army veteran who spent time in prison for drugs.
Oh, my God, that's horrible.
What a way to grow up. My dad was an idiot. He was running away from cops, and he jumped over a wall that he didn't realize that had a 200-foot drop on the other
side. He's like, screw you, cops. I'm an expert at that free-running shit. Whee! Oh! Boom!
Splat!
Screw you, piggies! Whee! Oh, whoa!
Just hurt on the wall.
This is great.
He's like friggin' Wile E. Coyote. You just see the poof puff of smoke.
He pulls up the little sign with a question mark. What the?
He has wings. His acne wings. He's right. Oh, shit!
Probably thought he was being all cool and slick. Like, yeah, I'm just gonna jump over this wall, evade the cops. Oh, shit! All right, Urbana, Illinois, a Catholic priest on the University of Illinois campus has been charged with selling cocaine from his church office and rectory.
Cocaine.
Little nose candy at the church. One of his customers. Speaking in tongues. The Reverend Christopher Layden pleaded not guilty Thursday to 2 counts of delivery of less than 1 gram of cocaine within 1,000 feet of a church and 1 count of possession with intent to deliver 1 to 15 grams of cocaine near a church.
Good lordy.
I guess there's no charge for in a church.
It's medicinal cocaine.
Yeah, right. it's called Nose Jesus.
No, I got the glaucoma. It's like, dude, that's pot. Oh, crap.
I got
bad the glaucoma really helps.
Yeah, I got a clogged up nose, glaucoma. Man.
The 33-year-old was arrested Wednesday at St. John's Catholic Newman Center after investigators found 3 grams of cocaine and drug paraphernalia while searching his home and office. Bond was set at $50,000. All right. Oh, Don Chep works at that university, so there you go.
Sweet.
Here's two idiots. Two attorneys were arrested in War Acres on Friday morning after witnesses reported the men driving the wrong way through a restaurant drive-through lane. Both attorneys, gosh, attorney Lewis B. Moon, 42, and Oklahoma County public defender David James Bedford, 32, were arrested about 1:40 a.m. at Whataburger after an employee called police and said the driver of a Cadillac Escalade was causing a disturbance and appeared intoxicated. Witnesses told police the men nearly hit another car in the drive-through lane. When a police officer arrived, Moon, the driver, was uncooperative and was taken down.
Yes!
He said Moon also spit in an officer's face.
I'm about ready to kill you.
Oh, man.
One of the police officers said Moon pulled out a badge from the Oklahoma County Sheriff's Office and claimed to be a deputy. Uh-oh.
Damn it, you burger punk!
Sheriff spokesman Mark Myers said the badge actually is known as a sheriff's eagle badge. The badges are given to people who support the sheriff's department, but they are not official law officer badges.
I support sheriff, all right.
You're worse than that, hey, man.
I donated to the Fraternal Order of Police. I got rights.
Now back off and let me pee.
Now back off and let me get a Whataburger.
I love Whataburger. Whataburger's probably main business is in the middle of the night by drunk people, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I want some taquitos, man. Shit.
I want the sausage, egg, and cheese taquitos.
Put lots of hot sauce on it. Yeah. They're like, oh, dude, more vomit in the parking lot.
How
great.
Many do you want? 12.
12.
That's a good number. No, make it 13, a baker's dozen.
It's like the tacos at Jack in the Box. $2.99. I'll take 15 tacos. Sir, it's only $2.99. You can't have 15. You got to have 16. Oh, hell, I ain't never coming here again.
Tacos. Sacramento, California police officers facing some serious charges, including indecent exposure and disorderly conduct, after being arrested in Rockland over the weekend. 34-year-old Jeffrey Wayne McKay was arrested on Saturday night on suspicion of indecent exposure, threatening a crime, and exhibiting a deadly weapon and disorderly conduct.
Holy crap.
Police say they were called out to Heron Court and Darby Road in Rockland just before 10 p.m. Saturday, after they heard reports of the incident. McKay was allegedly in his front yard making threats to neighborhood kids with a loaded gun. He also reportedly exposed himself while urinating on his front lawn.
Wow.
You kids get out of here. Only I'm allowed to piss on my grass. I gotta pee. Get out of here.
Who takes a piss with a loaded gun?
How do you do that exactly?
I guess you hold in one hand and hold in the other hand.
That sounds very dangerous.
I bet it is. I bet you his aim isn't very good. And that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week.
Is that Mr. Ed?
Yeah. Thanks for doing the news this week. Oh, yeah. I love McDonald's, don't you guys? You know what? It's because of that movie Supersize Me that got rid of those cookies. Damn it. That's not fair, is it?
Come on. No, it's not.
I blame Morgan Spurlock.
You know who I blame? I blame all this on you.
Oh, Jesus. All right, what do you say we get into the DVDs?
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs!
DVDs! HD! Blu-ray! Standing there pretty strong! DVDs! Oh, hell yeah! The DVDs! Yes! DVDs!
Doesn't come out of my ass, okay?
Oof.
Wow.
Yeah, these DVDs are guaranteed to have not come out of my ass.
It warms your ass.
There's a lot of ass play going on in this episode.
What the hell is going on the show this week?
We love ass. We get
my behind.
All right, Bill. All right. What do we have in the DVDs this week?
All right, DVDs for Tuesday, September 23rd, 2008. They're already starting to pump out the holiday DVDs.
Yes.
Alvin and the Chipmunks, a Chipmunk Christmas 25th Anniversary Special Collector's Edition.
Oh, hell yes.
This is one of the things I loved as a kid. I think it came out sometime in the, 25 years ago.
My daughter, daughter's all into the Chipmunks right now for some reason. And we haven't even seen the Jason Lee movie, just the cartoons.
No, I love the classic cartoons.
I want to get her Batmunk. Remember they did that album of the Chipmunks, Batmunk?
Yeah.
And she loves Batman and Spider-Man and all that. That would be cool. What the?
Along with the Christmas one, they're doing a Thanksgiving one, which actually came out in 88 as opposed to the 25th anniversary one, which came out in, I think, production year was 81.
You know, did they ever do one where they sang any Huey Lewis?
I think so. I mean, they had to have. I bet you Patrick Bateman loved it.
Patrick Bateman. Love that.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
All right, next DVD is Deception.
They really came into their own with sports.
Yes, they did.
Deception.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor, Michelle Williams, Hugh Jackman.
Me and McGregor?
Ewan.
Oh.
Ewan.
Ewan McGregor. I love that guy.
You and me and a dog named Boo.
You mean Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yes. I guess he gets involved with Michelle Williams, who... I guess he finds it attractive.
Yeah, it's written in the script that way, Bill.
Oh, so it's kind of like how it was written in the script in The Dark Knight that Maggie Gyllenhaal was.
You're
pretty.
So beautiful.
You're so beautiful.
The script says.
Funniest line in the movie.
It would have been worse if he was like,
"Are you an angel?"
Yeah, I'm Maggie Gyllenhaal. You're really beautiful, I swear.
Jeez, sister.
I should win a friggin' Academy Award for this shit.
Yippee.
Just to make that line believable, you should get the award.
The movie was awful.
No, it was. Come on, The Dark Knight was good, Ari. Come on.
All right, next DVD is Dollars with Goldie Hawn and Warren Beatty, directed and written by Richard Brooks.
This is the movie that was all about Richie Rich's dog.
Yes, exactly. Dollars.
What the hell?
Wow. I loved Richie Rich. I was so disappointed when they made it into a movie with Macaulay Culkin. That was terrible.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
What? Oh my god!
I'm about that excited for this Friday the 13th, the series, the first season DVD
set. Holy shit, I watched that show. I really did. It was so bad.
I know, man. It was terrible.
Robert Englund started doing episodes with, like, Tony Dow, who played Wally on Leave It to Beaver. What the hell was that about? Jesus.
This was a god-awful show.
I was bedraggled.
You know what's so funny is there's a show on Bravo called Top Design, and they had special celebrity judges, and that guy was one of the judges.
No way, the
bedraggled guy.
I was bedraggled.
Have we ever figured out what bedraggled means?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. What does it mean?
It's exactly the way I feel right now, you know?
Google it quick.
It's kind of like...
Yeah, it's just like having a headache in your hand, you know?
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The next DVD is The Godfather Collection, The Coppola Restoration.
What the f*** are you talking about?
What the hell
Available
is that?
On DVD and Blu-ray.
Huh?
Yes.
What is it?
5 discs, including all 3 films, and over 4 hours of supplemental materials.
Does it have Jack with Robin Williams on it?
God, I hope not. Then it has all new DVD supplements. So if you bought them once, guess what? You should buy it again for these all new DVD supplements.
Is that like vitamins or?
Yes, they make you feel better if you take them regularly.
Does it have every snippet of every movie that has somebody going, "Say hello to my little friend"?
I want to go there. I'm going to go there after the show.
Do what? Explain that, Steve, because no one knows what the hell you're talking about.
I just ignored it. Al Pacino reference.
No, there is, what was that movie called, Steve?
We're just watching Balls of Fury.
Balls of Fury was on HBO, and there's a part where George Lopez goes, "Say hello to my little friend." And we realized, like, holy shit, how many horrible movies has someone said that
in a movie?
And especially George freaking Lopez.
If nobody ever says it again in another movie, I would be thrilled.
Yeah. All right, next DVD and Blu-ray is Grease, the Rock and Rydell edition.
Oh, yes! I love
Grease.
I'm
sorry, no, it's not on Blu-ray. I apologize. It's only got, it's two different ones, a leather jacket package and the Letterman sweater package.
What? That's a huge mistake. I thought I was getting Grease in HD, and now I'm not?
Well, deal with it. I am.
Oh.
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
I love Grease, Bill.
The movie was awful.
Terrible. I can't stand that movie.
What the hell?
Grease 2 is much better.
Yeah! You're a cool writer, right?
You're a girl for all seasons?
C-O-L. Whoa, what song was that?
That was the one where Michelle Pfeiffer is dressed up as a Christmas tree. She said, I'm a girl for all seasons.
Holy shit, I don't remember that. You must have watched that recently.
Dude, I had to watch it so many times because of my sisters. I can't remember which one liked it, but God knows I hated it.
My favorite song in the whole thing was... Cosmic bitch will kick you into a ditch. What the hell was that?
All right. Next DVD is L.A. Confidential Special Edition DVD and Blu-ray.
Oh, wicked. I like that movie.
That is a good movie. I'll have to pick up the Blu-ray eventually.
At the end, how many movies do you see where the guy from Babe gets a shotgun to the back?
No.
What is that actor's name? James Cromwell.
You needed to say, that'll do, pig. That'll do.
James Cromwell, the babe is sitting in the corner hiding in the shadows as he gets shotgunned. It's like,
he's covered in the farmer's blood.
Oh.
Shivering. Not knowing what to do.
So Babe goes over and eats him.
Rollo Tomasi. That's a great movie. It really is.
That'll do, pig. That'll do.
Who would you rather see a movie about, Rollo Tomasi or Kaiser Soze?
That's a tough one.
Rollo Tomasi.
Yeah, I like that name better.
And you know, they totally... Remember Kevin Spacey's scene in that movie? You know what I'm talking about. It's a shocking scene. They ripped that scene... Or no, they didn't rip it off. A Steven Spielberg movie called Minority Report totally ripped that scene off.
Oh, yeah.
Just completely ripped it off. Do you remember that? Awesome. And
all right, next DVD. Leatherheads, Blu-ray, DVD, George Clooney, John Krasinski, Renell Zellweger.
The movie was
Zellweger, Sourpuss Face.
That movie didn't look appealing at all.
No, and you know what? It's gotten some pretty terrible reviews. Next DVD is Pathology with Peter Petrelli.
That never came out in theaters, huh?
Yeah, I think it did. It just didn't last very long.
Oh my god!
I think it's like the psychotic version of Flatliners.
Yeah, it looks really stupid. Wow!
Douche my hand.
And again, holidays are upon us. Peanuts, the Deluxe Holiday Collection.
Sweet!
I have this one, actually. It's a great pumpkin Charlie Brown,
awesome.
Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, Charlie Brown Christmas, and what else is there? Oh, that's it. Just three. Huh.
Is Pigpen in any of those? He was always my favorite.
Pigpen's in all of them.
He's always in.
Hell yeah.
I feel all Christmassy now.
I love those.
That's my favorite. That's the Christmas album I put on a loop during the holidays. That Vince Guaraldi trio, Charlie Brown Christmas.
You know what? I remember all those specials. Okay, Snoopy. All those specials are sponsored by Dolly Madison, and they'd always have like the fruit pies and the.
Well,
cupcakes.
That was the thing. That was the night. That you just, like, the whole family sat around and watched like Charlie Brown Christmas and Garfield Christmas, and
it was magical, like, you know. And
I wish I had that.
They
you
had
know?
McDonaldland commercials, and you'd want to go eat there afterwards.
Yeah, totally. And then you'd get all tripped out.
Yeah, man. I think McDonald's should totally pay us advertising
up there
dollars.
In my hip huggers and.
Okay.
What are hip huggers exactly?
Those pants that ride real low.
Those are for girls?
No, back in the days, those were hippie pants.
No, Steven wore them anyways. He's setting trends.
I had hippie cousins that bought me those pants when I was young. I had
nice.
A pair of hip huggers.
Dude, you're dating yourself.
I was young.
How can
I was
you
a
date
kid.
Yourself? Oh, no, I took it the wrong way.
You're carbon dating yourself.
That's good stuff.
I thought meant you were asking yourself out on a date is what I meant.
Well,
all right, next DVD.
Wow,
Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Hey, that's not very nice, Bill.
No, it's the film with Simon Pegg.
Oh, okay.
Hank Azaria, Tandy Newton, and Dylan Morin.
What's with Hank Azaria always doing nude scenes for comic reaction?
Yeah,
movies?
I don't know. I think he's obsessed with his body or something.
Yeah.
And it was actually written by Michael Ian Black, and it was adapted for an English version by Simon Pegg. And
so what did you think of the flick, Bill?
I thought it was fun.
Is it worth...
It's pretty meaningless.
Worth Netflixing?
Oh, definitely.
Give it to me straight.
Definitely, definitely.
Okay, we'll check it out, right, Steven?
Yes, definitely.
And I know you're going to want to check this out, Sex in the City, the movie extended cut.
The movie was awful.
Yeah, on DVD and Blu-ray. We'll just pass right over
that. You
know,
I know somebody went to see that in the theater.
No, I didn't know. Nobody saw it in the theater.
Now, Bill, you want to be honest with our listeners.
Shut up. Moving on. This American Life
really,
season
really
1 on
like
DVD,
right
finally.
Sounds like somebody's got amnesia.
Yeah, I've got amnesia.
No, what was this new movie?
Notice I'm not paying attention to you guys. This American Life season 1 on DVD.
Ah, yeah. That's the radio show with...
Yes, with Ira Glass.
You know what's funny? I don't know if you guys have ever listened to This American Life, but it is a really good show. And I remember Antebert used to always say, like, radio... It's about the coughing. It's about natural. It's about like the uhs and the ahs, and there's no editing. And
what? Yeah,
you remember that?
What world is he living in?
Listen
honestly.
To This American Life. The guy introduces a story, and then they play the edited story, and it's still live radio. It doesn't all have to be live with. I know that's live and that's fantastic radio, by the way.
Coming up is the Mulberry Boy.
But seriously, that was always my example of no, it doesn't have to always be that. Listen to This American Life. Oh, that's a bunch of liberals crap.
And stay tuned after for B Dub. I love B Dub. B Dub is wonderful.
Wanker.
Yes, thank you. All right, and last DVD, Vipers with Tara Reid and Corbin Burnson.
What the hell is that?
Sci-fi movie.
Vipers.
I don't know if it's a sci-fi movie, but it's a piece of shit.
It's about a German guy.
It looks
guy
like it's
who,
kind of like Anaconda, but with vipers.
No, what it's about is a German guy who washes windows.
Vipers. May I wash your vipers?
I want to wipe your windows. That was pretty bad. Bye, everybody. I'm out of here after that.
I was playing all the
right,
quiet.
So it's
just, hey, Steven, just good... I would never do that to you, Steven.
Watch out for snakes.
It says they go to Eden Island, beautiful, idyllic, and suddenly the most terrifying place on Earth.
Wow.
Scientifically enhanced snakes bred specifically for their venom.
Bill, would you ever have sex with Tara Reid?
Yeah, why not?
But I just mean, like, maybe it's like...
He didn't say marry her.
It warms your ass.
Yes, it does.
But she's probably got disease or something.
I'll wear a condom.
That's what the prophylactic is
for. Or maybe two or three.
Okay, we got it.
All right, well, Viper.
I mean, she's actually cleaned herself up pretty good lately. I thought she was hot when she was in American Pie.
I wouldn't even wipe my ass with it.
Oh my god, that's pretty harsh. No, she was cute in Van Wilder, right?
Yeah.
And in that one Uwe Boll movie where she played an anthropologist.
Oh, good lord.
Fake ass people.
The fact that even Uwe Boll said she's a terrible actress.
I see you as an anthropologist. It's like, dude, what have you been smoking? I'm Tara Reid myself. And
he's
I
been
still
smoking
don't
that McDonaldland Chiba.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
God, that's the...
Oh, sorry.
He sucks big time.
Yes.
All right, Bill, what other DVDs we got?
That's it. That's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for letting me.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And...
Steven, you knocked all the dishes over there.
Sorry.
I blame you for all that.
You know who I blame? I blame all this on you.
Oh, my God.
It is my fault.
All right, everybody.
Steven's just a clumsy son of a bitch.
Yeah.
That was episode 138 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Also, thank you for your voicemails, Izzy and Mystery Man. Thank you for your emails from everybody who sends emails. And your donation, Don Chep. If anybody would like to visit nowhereinmulberry.com, you'll find links to Mulberry Old School and our forum. And you could give us feedback on our shows and stuff like that. Now, you know what I noticed? That podcast awards thing is coming up again. Do you guys even want to bother with that or ask anyone to vote for us? Or
if you want to, fine.
What do
you
think, Bill?
If you don't, fine.
You know what? If people want to, go ahead, but... I'm not expecting anything.
Yeah,
I'm not
me neither.
My desk, my breath for that desk.
We'll
you
just
know, the laptop desk.
We'll lose to a Lost Cast or BSG Cast or Firefly Cast or
Muggle Cast,
Keith and the Girl or something like that.
Keith and the Girl. Oh,
I think the last thing we were on, we wanted everyone to nominate us in an entertainment category, and we lost to a Lost podcast. So what are you going to do? Yeah. You know.
At least that's a current and something that's still going on. You know, I don't feel bad losing to a Loss, but to like Firefly that has
been gone a long time. You know, and I see a lot of people like they'll go, "Hey, you don't want to upset those brown coats." It's like, what? What are they? The friggin' Nazi party or something?
Yeah,
they are.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I'm more afraid of
like brown coats.
Huey Lewis fans or something.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
Actually, I don't. I know I'm going to start a letter-writing campaign, but I'm sorry. Oh, come on. I love Happy to be stuck with you. Oh.
I love that video, them buried in the sand.
But, hey, call and leave us a voicemail at 206-202-3491, and we'll love you. Donate, and we will give you ringtones. And... we will give you a very special show coming up, and it'll be a surprise.
In a matter of months.
And we will send you a box of McDonaldland cookies. Get yourself ready for a trip to McDonaldland.
Laced with
pops.
I wonder if you can buy those on eBay. You can buy Girl Scout cookies on eBay.
I wouldn't eat those. Like, dude, I got 1979 McDonaldland cookies for sale on eBay. It's like, dude, I can't wait to... Oh,
I get it. I got a case of them for sale.
I got dysentery.
Oh, there's a wooden nickel for the Oceanside McDonaldland.
Nice.
Good for one free order of McDonaldland cookies, cash value 1 cent. There you go.
Oh!
Oh. You should buy this and give it to the girl next time and go, see? McDonaldland cookies, bitch!
It's basically McDonald's version of animal crackers, right?
Yeah,
right.
It is.
They've got to still have those. What the hell is going on in this world when you can't have McDonaldland animal cookie crackers, whatever the hell they are? It's kind of like when
they were the shape of the McDonald character.
They are, but
right?
I mean, why do they call them animal crackers when they're cookies? It's the same when some people call crackers, like saltines, biscuits. Like it says on the box, it's like a biscuit. It's not a biscuit. A biscuit is like,
like a biscuit.
Yeah, a biscuit from like a Pillsbury Doughboy or some shit like that. I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about
anymore. Sometimes, you know, like overseas, they call some cookies or biscuits. I don't know what the criteria is. Maybe one of our, fans internationally could leave us a voicemail this week defining what is a cookie, what is a biscuit.
What is a cracker?
What is a cracker?
Barn, tiger, car, hammer, tree, building, like, cup, phone, toaster, house doll, football, book, umbrella, bench, paperclip.
Cracker.
Are Jaffa cakes considered biscuits or cookies?
Is it Jaffa or Jaffa? Jaffa cake?
Jaffa, Jaffa.
Jaffa, Jaffa.
I think it all depends on where you are.
Yeah.
Jaffa cakes.
Because I actually ordered, like, I don't know, like 2 years ago, I ordered like a crate of McVitie's Jaffa cakes. And I probably went through them in about 2 weeks. it was ridiculous.
Were they nasty?
No, they were great. It's like this, like, I guess it's like a cookie biscuit kind of thing with orange marmalade in them, and then they're covered in like dark chocolate.
Weird.
So it's like a chocolate cookie with the orange marmalade in them.
Does Keebler make anything like that?
No, but they need to.
Keebler Jaffa Cakes, as seen on Spaced. I think it's time.
Ah, it's a biscuit-like cake. That's what they call
a biscuit-like cake. Wait, now you're confusing a biscuit.
So now I'm
cake.
Even more confused.
It's kind of like a waffle, only not.
It's a cracker-like biscuit. What?
I won't even wipe my ass with it.
Oh, okay. Well, on that note, thanks everybody for joining us. We'll see you next week, all right? Good times.
Fake ass people.
Whoa. That was rude. Bill, you want to meet us at McDonald's later?
Yeah, man.
Hells yeah. Bye, everybody. Bye, Steven.
See ya.
Tiger car, hammer, tree, building, cup, phone, toaster, house doll, football, book, umbrella, bench, paperclip.